checking, we have a couple people actually out checking on the noise. We are going to try and move on with a pretty lengthy agenda this evening. So we are now moving on to item 5. What I would ask all the speakers to do, no matter where they're sitting, is to project, use that diaphragm so that we can all hear. All right, so I think we've got Mitsunu Barmeister, representing the Employee Advisory Committee. Tell us about tonight's honorees.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to announce the Employees of the Month for July and August, as well as Supervisor of the Quarter. Our first honoree for the month of July is Bimla Dariani. Bimla Dariani, Administrative Services Assistant 3 in the Operations Administration Department at River Oaks, is the Administration Award winner for July. Bimla has been with BTA for nearly 11 years and is a very conscientious employee who works well under minimal supervision. In her current position, Bimla is responsible for collecting data and compiling reports on operating statistics and key events information. Bimla is a valued member of the operations administration team. Her great attitude and friendly demeanor help make BTA a better place to work. Congratulations to Bimla Dariani, Administration Employee of the Month for July. Our next honoree this evening is Jess Elliman. Jess Elliman, Service Worker Foreman at Cerrone Division, is our Maintenance Employee of the Month for July. Jess has been with BTA for over 25 years. In his current assignment as a service worker foreman, Jess coordinates work and ensures the safety of service workers at the yard's fuel island, where buses are cleaned and refueled before pullout. Jess takes great pride in his work, carrying out his duties with the utmost care and attention to detail. His supervisors note that Jess delivers high-quality service in his job, enabling BTA, in turn, to provide reliable service to BTA riders. He is an excellent team player and is well respected by his co-workers. In upholding BTA standards of quality job performance, Jess is very deserving of this award. Congratulations to Jess Elliman, Maintenance Employee of the Month for July. Our next honoree for July is Cindy Leptalo. Cindy Leptalo, Transportation Superintendent at the Cerrone Operations Division, is Supervisor of the Quarter for the third quarter of 2008. Cindy started with BTA in 1982. In her current position, Cindy directs the daily activities of the division, overseeing transportation operations, dispatch, and road supervision in order to ensure that the bus service provided by Cerrone is the best possible for BTA's passengers. She manages for optimal bus operator performance and serves as a mentor and coach to her supervisory staff. Cindy's dedication and integrity have earned the respect of all who work for her. Recognized by her division leadership as a key member of the management team, Cindy is viewed by the operators and her fellow supervisors as providing clear direction and leadership, creating a positive work environment. Cindy is clearly an asset to her division as well as to BTA, Congratulations to Cindy Lactala, Supervisor of the Quarter. Our first honoree for the month of August is Martin Hernandez Gonzalez. Martin Hernandez Gonzalez, Construction Inspector in the Construction Division at River Oaks, is the Administration Award winner for August. Martin has been with BTA since 1987. Martin consistently strives to provide the highest quality inspections for passenger facility projects, including the Downtown Light Rail Platform Retrofit Project. Martin's supervisors note that he performs his duties with a strong attention to detail and a high level of understanding in the interpretation of construction plans and specifications. Martin's professionalism and his great attitude toward his job help make BTA a better place to work. Congratulations to Martin Hernandez Gonzalez, Administration Employee of the Month for August. Our next honoree is Nina Marquez. Nina Marquez, Sheboygan Division Coach Operator, is our August Operations Award winner. Nina has over 22 years of service with BTA and performs her job with the highest standards. She sets a great example as a dedicated operator and is appreciated by her coworkers for her hard work and her truly caring nature. Nina's supervisors recognize her professional conduct and respect toward others, particularly noting her positive attitude and her extra efforts to ensure that her passengers enjoy riding with BTA. Nina is committed to quality job performance and is very deserving of this award. Congratulations to Nina Marquez, Operations Employee of the Month for August. Our final honoree this evening is John Allen. John Allen, Transit Mechanic at Cerrone Division, is our Maintenance Employee of the Month for August. John has been with BTA since 1999. In his current assignment as a transit mechanic, John consistently performs his work, ensuring that BTA coaches are in excellent condition for pullout. He is proactive in identifying and solving mechanical problems as they arise, demonstrating his genuine interest in helping BTA provide consistent, reliable service. Recognized by his supervisors for going above and beyond his job duties, John upholds BTA's high standards for professionalism and sets a great example for his coworkers. Congratulations to John Allen, Maintenance Employee of the Month for August. Our operations Employee of the Month for July, Mr. Robert Kissling, is unable to be with us this evening. Therefore, this concludes our presentation of Employees of the Month and Supervisor of the Quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Pete?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the Chair of the Board of Supervisors, I want to apologize for the disruptive noise. My staff is looking into it and trying to resolve it, and we will see that it's resolved as soon as we can. Again, my apologies. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. I'm sure you'll keep us updated then. Our next item on the agenda is the report from the General Manager, Michael Burns.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I will try to keep my report brief given the agenda, but there are some things happening at VTA that do warrant reporting on, some very good things happening. First, beginning with ridership. For the month of June, total monthly system ridership for bus and light rail was 3.8 million, an increase of 7.6% over June 2007. Average weekday ridership was 150,320, a jump of 9% compared to 2007, and the highest since June of 2002. Average weekday bus ridership was 112,784, an increase of 10.2% from June of last year. So some really substantial increases in bus and light rail ridership for the month of June. For the fiscal year, overall bus ridership is up 4.6 compared to 2007. And light rail recorded an average weekday ridership of 37,500, a 5.6% jump from last year, the highest June average for weekday light rail ridership in ETA history. Obviously, we are, from a ridership perspective, bearing the benefits of the high cost of gasoline, but we also believe that some of the increases with regard, particularly on the bus side, are due to the new bus service plan that was implemented this past January. Continuing with operating statistics, and these reports will be given formally to the appropriate committees, but I did want to highlight a couple of operating statistics for fiscal year 2008 and for the entire board to give you a sense for the level of improvement that has occurred. We've achieved the highest levels in a number of areas, including percent of service provided, miles between mechanical failures, light rail ridership, as I just reported, and the lowest levels ever for absenteeism among operators and mechanics. I want to commend the leadership of our operations department, our Chief Operating Officer, Dan Smith, and his team. They recognize the commitment of our line employees to their job and to their community. On the not-so-good front, on-time performance has been hampered, particularly in light rail, where we're below 90%. That's directly attributable to the platform retrofit project, which is a temporary inconvenience that will result in a permanent improvement. And we do expect to see improvements as well as in bus and light on on-time performance in the coming year. Fare revenues, total fare revenues are up 2% over last year. This is especially good news given some of the fare changes that were adopted by the board last year, including reduction in the youth and senior monthly pass price of the day pass for all categories of riders, and the new community bus fares. So with those fare reductions, we see an increase in fare revenue. Pass sales to seniors and youth are up by 11%. We also continue to expand the EcoPass program. In 2008, we added 15 new employers, representing over 6,500 employees, increasing revenues in this category by 6%. We're also seeing increased use in EcoPass on our system as many employees begin to give transit a try, and we're hoping that we'll be able to retain those as permanent customers. Also, a program approved by the board several months ago, the new Uplift program in Santa Clara County, went into effect on April 1st. This program more than doubles the number of transit passes available for social service agencies to distribute to homeless individuals who qualify for county services. And we're very proud of our partnership with the county on that initiative. Now, lest anyone accuse me of selecting only positive indicators, now for the not-so-good news. Revenues from sales taxes were essentially flat, whereas our budget assumed a 4.8% growth for this year and next. The resulting shortfall, which is just under $8 million, has been partially offset in savings by labor and other expenses. And we have a similar outlook for fiscal year 09, and we will continue to impose cost-saving measures to assure that the budget stays balanced for next year. Moving to my next item, on July 31st, the Bureau of State Audits released its report on VTA. In general, the report validates the recommendations contained in the organizational and financial assessment that was completed last year and reaffirms the efforts the VTA has undertaken so far to advance those recommendations and also recommends that we continue with their implementation. The report adds its own recommendations for how VTA can make some of our existing practices more effective and efficient. A couple of highlights from the report. Bureau of State Audit's report did not recommend significant changes to VTA governance after a review of governance throughout the country, but rather endorsed the incremental changes that are already being pursued by the Board of Directors. The audit team found that VTA's financial reporting and planning generally meet best practices in government finance and acknowledged that VTA has made significant strides in this regard since the release of the assessment a year ago. And they also found that VTA's project planning practices generally conform to best practices, but noted there is room for improving procedures for estimating project costs and revenues as well as project monitoring. We concur with the state audit's recommendations and believe they will help to make VTA an even better organization. And we have identified specific actions and timelines for follow-up on those recommendations, and we'll be tracking those actions and reporting to the Bureau of State Audits over the next 6 to 9 months. I wanted to give you a quick update on a couple of construction projects. That's not a transportation project. The platform retrofit project, we are completing work on Almaden, Oak Ridge, and Chenoweth stations. The official opening for those stations is Monday, August 11th. The next phase will be Blossom Hill and Cottle. Those stations will close on August 16th with a bus bridge in place and reopen completed towards the end of September. And then the final phase, Snell and Santa Teresa stations, will have a temporary platform at Santa Teresa at the end of September with no bus bridge. We'll continue to provide service at Santa Teresa. And both of those stations will open by Thanksgiving is the current projection, which is another VTA project that's been completed within budget and ahead of schedule. Will have been completed ahead of schedule. The second project of particular interest is rail replacement at First and Divine in San Jose. The rail at this intersection has been in almost constant use since the 1980s. It needs to be replaced. The deteriorated condition of the rail contributes to wheel squeal when light rail trains travel over the tracks. We are planning to do the work beginning August 22nd, which is Friday, and completing the work by August 25th on Monday. We're consolidating all of the work into that one weekend. We'll have a bus bridge from Civic Center Station to Convention Center Station. This allows us to limit the construction to one weekend and not require a second weekend shutdown as originally planned. So that's been a long-awaited improvement by the community out at that location. And we expect that they'll realize the benefit of less noise and vibration within the rail in place. Finally, my last item is a significant project that we've been working on. And it's the project to construct a flyover structure to grade separate eastbound Route 152 from Route 156 in South County. There will be a ribbon cutting that's currently scheduled for August 27th. The flyover is scheduled for opening on August 28th at 6 a.m. prior to Labor Day weekend. It's opening 5 weeks ahead of schedule, and the full project completion is scheduled for the spring of 2009. And we have a couple of photos of the project. This is traveling eastbound on Route 156 with the new 152 flyover structure in the background, and then the second photo shows the flyover section traveling eastbound on 152, approaching the new 152 flyover structure. The pavement on the right is the new on-ramp onto 156, connecting to westbound 156. So a lot of folks in the South Bay who are very looking forward greatly to the completion of that project and elimination of the conflict at that interchange or intersection now, 152 and 156. And that concludes my report, Madam Chair.
Great, thank you. I have one speaker card on this report. That's Eugene Bradley. So Eugene, come on up and take up to 2 minutes. I think you have to use the handheld mic.
The board members, Jane Bradley, Santa Clara Beach Skyline Engineer Founder. I want to congratulate on behalf of our group Beachscape for the increase in bus ridership numbers. Just to restore the perspective, the over 122,000 bus riders was roughly about the same as the ridership that existed in the county in 1987. Although this is a very great number for the increase in ridership that I'm saying is in 1981, about several years ago, the biggest concern our group has is connection bus service. Clearly, according to those same numbers that you just broadcast, those are excellent numbers, by the way. 75% of the public transit ridership in this county takes the bus. Basically, there need to be plans to ETA to restore some of the service that was originally deleted as part of the new ETA restructuring that took place earlier this year. Just a couple of examples of that would be the restoration of the use of the community bus in the 85 line directly linked to downtown with City College and Valley Medical Center. That would be one great start to actually expanding some of the bus service. Thanks.
Thank you, Eugene. All right. Item 7 is the chairperson's report. And since I suspect this meeting is going to be rather lengthy, I'll forego my chair's report. Except just to remind the speakers that you'll have 2 minutes to speak. I'll give you the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then catch off if you go over that. And my board members will attest that I will do that. So, item number 8 is the PAC report from PAC chairperson Chris Moreland. Hi, Chris.
This is dangerous. I had no mic, I was having a desire to sing full lottery. Since I only know the first word, it would be really, really bad. Let me report to you on 2 months of Policy Advisory Committee activity in our meeting in June. We had the latest in the series of individual city presentations started by my predecessor, Member Glickman. This time, Mill Pickett came up with us all about with their transit needs and the situation of our was very lengthy. We also then had a fair discussion on the bus rapid transit strategic plan Carter evaluation study, which Carters should get BRT first in order. You know, as you know, prioritization is always the most, well, I guess besides governance, the most controversial thing we deal with around here. And the PAC, you know, they accept the report. Just wanted to give you a little feedback to suggest that as this is going on, other initiatives such as the Grand Boulevard, we think we have to make sure we're not doing anything with that. And that the criterion should be the congestion along the line minus how much ridership we currently have. Because as your own marketing study showed, the big piece we're missing is the people for whom time is the real question. There's lots of people that if you could just make it go a lot faster, they could. So, and then we sent that back. Then we got into a bit of the governance issue. At that point, the PAC didn't even know about the two board members having invited two members of the PAC and two members of the CAC to participate in that. So we updated them on that. And then with that result, we decided to reconvene in July for a workshop on that. So in July, the Policy Advisory Committee was getting a full update of everything that had transpired. City of Mountain View was really quick off the ball. I think you've gotten a letter from them. They had previously endorsed the South County proposal, and they now endorse the expanded governance committee's proposal. It's pretty quick. All the rest of us had to agree to take the latest idea back to our own councils and pass it off to see what we thought, since it is our understanding that most or all of our three cities are going to have to agree to whatever we do next. So the you know, you've got about a year. The real issue is we got to decide on something we're going to do after we started. The other revelation of that meeting was the interpretation by DCA Council that the City of San Jose, their previous agreements, has veto power under how the 14 cities pick their members, but it's been very reassuring to hear from various members of the City Council that their inclination is to support whatever the consensus is. comfortable position to be, and if I want to express our gratitude to them.
Chris, if I could get you to actually report on the activity at the meeting as opposed to the revelations, that might make it a little bit more straightforward for us.
Okay, the activity of the meeting was staff reported to us the latest interpretation from BJ Council on this.
Thank you.
Okay. And that concludes too much work.
Perfect. Thank you. We move to the consent agenda now, and it is lengthy. Does anyone have... Okay. So, before you... I love the to-the-point part, by the way. But I have a question for Michael. So we've got a motion for approval and a second, and before we vote, we have two speaker cards on a consent item, and I'd like to ask Pat Markovich and Bruce England to either do one of two things, and you're going to have to tell me very quickly, do you want to just speak to these items, or do you want the items pulled? And I don't know who Pat and Bruce are, so I'm not really, okay. If they're pulled, then they go to the end of the agenda. If you want to just come up and speak to the items, why don't you walk on up? Thank you.
Hi. My name is Pat Markovich, and I am the chair of the City Powell for Parks and Recreation Commission. I'm here regarding item 17, the Countywide Bicycle Plan, 2008. Part of this plan includes a new bicycle pedestrian bridge across Highway 101 in the vicinity of San Antonio Road. This bridge would replace the Adobe Creek Undercrossing, which is open only 6 months out of the year. Currently, the only other option in that area is the San Antonio Car Overpass, which is extremely dangerous to navigate by bike, car, and foot. This Tier 2 project would not only allow safe passage for bicyclists and pedestrians to the Bayland, it would offer alternative transportation access to all of the businesses and companies in Mountain View and Palo Alto that are east of Highway 101. Since Highway 101 will be undergoing auxiliary lane construction in 2011 in that area, it only makes sense to combine the two projects onto the same timeline. Please consider this bicycle pedestrian overpass as part of your 2008 countywide bicycle plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat. And we'll be followed by Bruce.
I'm Bruce England, and one of the things I'm a member of the Mountain View Environmental Sustainability Task Force, and also the Mountain View General Plan Update Review Process. I've been involved in that also in the Board of Wisdom Station Board of Directors. And the Wisdom Station area is part of a larger community called the Wisdom Station. And right now it's pretty much isolated from El Camino Grande Road, which is a major shopping area for our vicinity. Mountain View has been, over the course of the last 10 years, building this community up quite a bit, and we don't really have any good access to shopping facilities. So what I've written up, and with support from people that I'm working with in various groups, is a path that would connect our communities with Grant Road El Camino. And it appears to me that it would be a reasonably straightforward thing to do, and I have a four-page document here written up. It's also online, so I'd just like to submit that to the record and put that right here.
Yeah. Someone will get it for us.
Thank you very much.
Being new to this job, I'm not quite sure who, but I'm sure somebody will now.
One of the board secretaries.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Bruce. I have a request to pull item 28. Any other items on the consent calendar to be pulled? You ready to go?
Well, this was not to be pulled. I was going to be consistent with my vote at the committee of the whole, I was going to vote in no on 15. And I have a comment on 25. Do I have to pull it to comment on it? Or maybe I can take a comment.
If you'd like to make a comment, I'll allow you.
Okay. And then the comment is quickly, this was putting on the ballot the, instead of putting on the ballot every 6 years, the 2000 Measure A, we were going to hand it to the COC. And my suggestion was going to be that when the COC does review it, that it does come to the board to present directly, to make that more meaningful exercise.
I think that's an administrative change we can incorporate. And I'm seeing the GM, CS, so thank you.
Okay, so I'll take that motion on the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye. Excluded 28.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Great, thank you. For those of you who are just joining us, you may be interested to know that earlier this evening we asked, it was asked of me to move item 32 prior to item 30. And so we're going to start with 32, then go back to item 30, and then 31. So I appreciate your patience. And before I hand this over to the general manager, I understand that there are people in the audience for item 32 that may need some translation help. We have a BTA staff member here in order to help you. And so if you, if the staff member could identify themselves.
Madam Chair, it is a certified translator, and the lady is right here behind me.
I appreciate that clarification. So if somebody does need translation help, we have a certified translator in green there. If you would sit down by her or remote her, that would be appreciated. For Spanish. Oh, Sue. Okay, yes.
Can she say that
again? Ustedes necesitan. Thank you. Maybe she can start with introducing her name.
Buenas noches a todos. Los que, mi nombre es Alicia, representante en español para aquellos que necesiten ayuda en interpretación. O sea, si no necesitan ayuda, por favor, informenme y así podemos ayudarte. Gracias.
Gracias. And then, Michael, I think this is your...
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'll just briefly introduce the item. This is... with regard to the Capitol Expressway light rail extension, and at the June 12, 2008 Policy Advisory Board meeting, when the Policy Advisory Board received a report on the Capitol Expressway project, it was expressed that the work was being suspended pending a review of the overall expenditure plan for Measure A, the overall program for Measure A. And while that may have been a poor choice of words, I think that the intent was to advise the board that it was the direction of BTA, including the board, to review the Measure A expenditure plan in its entirety with all 21 projects because we had several decisions there. We have several decisions that are coming up with regard to next steps on several projects, and we should make those decisions based on the overall program. There has since been a lot of discussion about this. The project has not been stopped. It's not on the agenda tonight to stop the project. The issue is that there's not enough money in Measure A to do all of the projects, and the board needs to work through that process in terms of prioritization and evaluation of the relative merits of all of the projects and do that in the context of the overall plan and not on an individual project basis. Saying that, the intent obviously is not to send a message that the project was being terminated. The next work that is that would be logical on the project would be to do an update to the appraisals for the property takings that are required for the project as it's currently designed, and that involves some 35 residential properties and 21 businesses. I have since seen a memorandum from the board members from San Jose who are recommending a reaffirmation of the board's support for the Capitol Expressway light rail project and recommend the continuation of the planning and design in coordination with review and approval of the Measure A expenditure plan, light rail systems analysis, and staff certainly concurs with that recommendation and we'll look to further direction from the board.
Great, thank you. Sam?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to first take a moment to move the memorandum dated August 6th from the mayor and the remaining four members from San Jose. Form the motion. I'll wait for a second before I move. Thank you. Several months ago, we learned that the term suspension had been applied to this project, and obviously that is a decision that needs to be made by the board, and certainly one that should be vetted with the UCLA-PAB. It's clear that this board has never voted to suspend the light rail project in East Ridge, and that is not what has happened. And it's clear that we reaffirm our support for the continued work here on property acquisition on this project. Whatever decisions we make on the entire Measure A package of projects will be made at a public hearing with all the projects on the table, with all the facts on the table. This issue obviously wasn't brought to the board before there was any mention of potential suspension. Certainly, we face serious fiscal constraints that may make it impossible for us to build all of the Measure A projects according to the original schedule, and some projects, if not most or all of the projects, will be deferred to some period of time. But those decisions, again, will be made in public at a hearing with all the facts on the table. And at this point, we're continuing to move forward with the light rail project in East Ridge. I think that's the firm commitment, certainly the membership from San Jose, and I hope that my colleagues will agree.
Great, thank you. First of all, I want to thank the mayor and my colleagues for putting this memo forward and bringing it to the VTA. And this is an important issue not only for my constituents, but I believe everyone that lives east of 101. And if you look at the Santa Clara Valley, it really does benefit beyond just east of 101. Just for the audience that was not at the meeting, I just wanted to let you know who was in the discussion to bring this to the full board to reaffirm our commitment to make sure that the downtown East Valley light rail to East Ridge would continue to move forward. It was Councilmember Vice Mayor Dave Cortese, Councilmember Sam Ricardo, Supervisor Blanca Alvarado, and myself. And we had a lively discussion, and we had a discussion about the importance of this particular extension to the rest of the city moving forward. And with the motion that is before us, I would hope that the rest of the VTA would support reaffirming that we continue to move forward on this particular project for the residents, not only in San Jose, but Santa Clara County. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. You already go, I think, and then Chuck.
Well, one is the question. I mean, the motion is basically the recommendation is reaffirm the board, reaffirm. And how is that different from, I mean, what does that mean?
Well, what had happened in the last few months is staff had stopped working on some of that property acquisition. And the community, I think, felt that was sending a signal that the VTA board was not interested in pursuing the Capital Expressway light rail project, was not interested in discussing it, and was basically dropping it from its Measure A priorities list. And so there was a number of questions raised in the community, so we wanted to place this on the agenda to show that this VTA board is still in affirmation with going forward with this project, and it will be evaluated when all Measure A projects are evaluated given our current budget situation.
Well, so does that mean the work will restart immediately?
I'm not sure how immediately, but yes, property acquisition, where the staff left off, will continue after that.
And how is that different from the alternative where it says the board could choose to allow the review of Measure A to be complete prior to taking action on this request?
That's a great question for a general manager, I believe.
Well, I think what's being advanced is for the project work to move forward in parallel with the work that's being done as part of the review of the Measure A program, to not hold up the work pending the completion of that review. That's That's what I understand the motion to be. The difference here would be to not continue the work until after that review has been completed.
So, what's the budget that we're talking about that we would spend another?
Well, the work that needs to be done immediately, and we're ready to do it. The appraisals for the property takings need to be updated, and that's probably a 2 to 4 month process. And of course, before any property acquisitions occur, we come back to the board with those specific actions. So it's somewhat in parallel with some of the work that will go on as part of looking at the expenditure plan overall.
Well, I was going to say that, when I looked at tonight's agenda, I was going to ask for a reaffirmation of a project that's important to North County, which is electrification of Caltrain. And I didn't hold back on that because I said, well, the rest of the board hasn't had a chance to talk about all of Measure A, and we don't have all the information in front of me. So I'm feeling...
I would say that one difference is that work hasn't stopped on the electrification project. That work is continuing.
You want to go anything else? Chuck?
Yeah, I think I'm number 11 tonight. I just like to invite people, if they want to copy the NIPLO we've been talking about, there are copies on the back table, the memorandum for myself and four councilmembers from San Jose. And I'm certainly going to support the memo. I think this is the best way to go for the rest of the board will do. And we'll just say that I'm hoping for success on the next item on the agenda because the discussion about this item will be a lot easier if the sales tax manager is successful.
David?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, for those of you may not be familiar, we actually have a board in an offsite earlier this year where we were actually applying fiscal discipline to decision making to remove politics out of the decision making. And we're going through projects and evaluation, and it's through that fiscal discipline that brings understanding of why we're doing the investments. Why we're implementing the transportation solutions. I don't even know how to read this. It's inserting politics back into the decision process, which I had thought, Michael, that like your response to this, you were striving to remove from the decision process as this memo came to the board through you. So if you could help address that, I think it's going to, similar to what Mr. Reed had mentioned, address the next item on the agenda. About politics and decision making that we're making this board.
Well, I think that that it's fair that decisions on whether projects should be stopped, suspended, that those are policy decisions that probably need to be made by the board. And in this case, we have not brought the particulars of this project or the other projects in Measure A to the board. For consideration. So I view this as consistent with the direction that we're moving, which is to look at transportation projects from transportation perspective, investment perspective, ridership perspective. But in fairness on this project, the board has not had the benefit of that, especially won't have the benefit of that until we go through that process with the expenditure plan.
So, to clarify, then this is just a staff decision to start the work. So, given that the board did not direct staff to start the work, does the staff need board direction to begin the process to treat all projects fairly?
I mean, there's an action here for the board that board members have asked to be taken from a procedural legal perspective, I don't believe in a formal board action would be required.
So the intent is not to insert politics back into this. I think that the project should be treated fairly, as with all the other projects. It should should not have been stopped without board policy initiative direction. But given that you, or staff, chose to do that without board direction, why would you go seek board direction to confirm something when it seems ironic that you don't ask for it first?
This request, the actual request in the board materials came from the Policy Advisory Board.
Since I saw a number of fingers go up at that point, let me, as the chair of this body this evening, maybe address that. I think the important part at this point, David, is because staff stopped the project work, the people in the community want to be assured that the project work will continue, and that's why we have an actual motion here to reaffirm that project work continuing. It's a matter of trust as well as going forward in spirit together. So that's why we're seeing this on the agenda. Laura?
I think I can add a little light to this. I think it was very important for the PAB board to bring this forward because we've had discussions on this for more than a couple of years, and we were all taken by surprise when we heard that staff had stopped moving forward on this without the direction of the PAB. So in order to make sure that there was no confusion on whether this project should move forward or not, we thought it was best, and I know that Vice Mayor Dave Cortese took the lead on it, along with the other names that I read, to bring this to the full board so that we would make sure that there was no confusion for staff on the direction that they needed to move forward. I hope that has answered your question.
That does, and I just want to clarify the does this in any way create a perception of the project at some level of having a different standing of the other projects on this array? Or are we just looking to be calibrated back to start points that people are clear that this is still in the field?
We're just trying to create an even playing ground with all the projects, understanding that we'll be evaluating all the projects fairly in an open public way with the entire board. If the staff had unilaterally decided without the board authorization to stop any other project, I would expect that to assure the public that in fact this is an agency run by the board, that we would have board direction to resume.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to state I believe it is appropriate that we formally reassure the community that all projects are continuing forward until there is specific board action within the HERB. So I am supportive of the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I have I know you'd like to call for the question, but I have a number of speakers here. The reason why I asked Sam to take the lead and consider making a motion is so that we could focus our discussion and so that the speakers would be reassured that the motion on the table is to reaffirm this work and to move forward with this work. And so that was my reason for talking about the motion in the first place. So I'm going to read the names of these speakers. You may remember that I took this item out of order in respect for your time. I reduced your speaking time from 2 minutes to 1 minute because I'm pretty sure that you're going to be able to tell us in less than a minute that you agree with our position or you don't agree with our position. And so I'm going to read the first few names off. If you would come in order and speak into the handheld mic, that would be great. And if you would be ready to speak as soon as a person just previous to you spoke, that would be even better for all of us. So first up will be Larry Braddock. He'll be followed by Diane Berger, Vice Mayor David Cortese, Helen Garza, and then Danny Garza. At the end of that list, and I'll read the next 5 speakers. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Excuse me, 1 second, Larry, please. If we could restart his time in a moment, thank you. At this point, I'm presuming I have all the speaker cards on item 32. Thank you. Okay, Larry, thank you.
Thank you for giving us time to speak. The 1 minute is sufficient because I was here to
Colton to take part in this stuff. He's had been young for 2 years, and we definitely hope to see my conclusion and support and information.
Thank you, Larry. Diane, come on up.
Yes, I'd also like to thank you for taking that position. I've spent 21 years. I've been looking forward to this extension for well, since 2000. And I might actually use my real life. I haven't been on it until now. It's in my July. So thank you very much for that information.
Thank you, Diane. Vice Mayor David Cortese.
Thank you, Chair Sandoval. I know the show that I won't be either directing here. One thing besides some circumstances, I was planning to 2 minutes of the comments, and I'm a little put off by that, but I'll continue. I'm going to appeal to you in two ways here. One of them is this is a project that is needed, has been demonstrated by generations of members and the person. The project is in every criteria. Funding has been funded, has been engineered, has been driving it forward. It's based on project management recently. So you have a project that's needed. The second area of appeal to you is credit. Just the very fact that you're going to take an item that convince to go and ask the voters for more money. Well, you're telling them you do not have an expenditure plan. You might have one in September. You might have one in October. It says and you have a $47 million investment in this extension research that you'd say here tonight, you may be able to write off. It was pretty proud of every piece of what you said, a lack of options for these great charities. There is no option to write off $47 million investment.
Sounds like a no, and I am going to ask that we try to refrain from asking our speakers questions. Thank you. For that reason. Helen. After Helen will be Danny Garza, then Alofa, Talavia, Elsie Aranda, and then what looks like Kevin Hitler. Helen Garza. And Helen, please don't forget to put that my brother Junior.
We were promised more buses, more routes, and less waiting time. Instead of routes have been cut, and we have less bus services. The BRT, which stands for Bus Rapid Transit, will not be beneath families, students, women, and children, and seniors. It has been said that it will be the same answer over and over, expecting change and get the same result. Well, BTA keeps putting heart and one rail on the ballot and keeps being voted down. Is someone at BTA making these decisions crazy or insane? Until BTA has up to 2,000 days early today and extends light rail from Platinum to B Street, I will not support any additional money for BTA.
Thank you,
Mark.
Danny.
from South End, we're in South Brooklyn, the east side. I grew up on the east side, the other side of town. This part of the motion, fully conditional. What you mentioned, coupled with the fact that we're here tonight, brings to mind past transactions in the South. Minorities were told where to sit, where they want to write. It seemed to be the same thing. If you're on the right side of town, you can sit where you want, in a rail park or a bus. I also will not support and work actively with Samson's proposal that are being brought to the public now and also. Until ground has been broken and construction completed, I do have no faith.
Danny, it's time for you to pass the mic. Thank you. Alyssa? And then we'll have Elsie.
Good evening, Madam Chair. I'm DTA, Board of Directors. My name is Alyssa Tanabag. I represent the American Board Association. And we have a CJBS and I. I'm here to speak in favor of the extension of the light rail from Alamoak to East Ridge. This project was already approved. I don't see what is the holdup. Why is it when it comes to East San Jose, things are put on hold and the process is slowing down and it's a budget issue? Why is that? We have to fight for the fire station that was already approved and we did whatever we could. I'd like to thank my council member, Nora Campos, here for the hard work that she's been doing. But Michael Burns, I don't know where you live, but where I live in East San Jose, there is a need for that light rail extension to East Ridge. So please, I don't like to hear that suspensions. We've been working so hard, BTA comes into presentations, no meeting. We pay attention to it.
Hello,
so I think it's a waste of time that you guys are not going to move forward with the approval.
Thank you. I have Elsie, I have Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Good evening. I'm 1 minute over time because I'm going to tell you a certain, I'm going to take care of the other thing than when you discuss an education. But right now, I'm going to say that I am not going to be in favor of I will tell you why. Basically, I want to thank you for suspending it, because when you are, you know, we do not need to be spending any more money on bringing anything, on bringing this to East Ridge, because we have buses, and we have plenty of buses that go to East Ridge and everything else at this time, so it's not feasible to do anything more to bring that to East Ridge, financially or fiscally. It's not advisable. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Elsie will be next, and then we'll have Eugene Bradley, Christina Cunningham, Gustavo Gonzalez, Carlos Da Silva. He'll be followed by Megan Williams, and there's still a slew of more cards, so don't worry if you haven't been called. Elsie?
My name is Elsie Arandala. I represent the service of the city of Manhattan. I'm not here to work with the firm, but if you're still fired up, that doesn't seem to settle for any reasons. East San Jose has the highest ridership because they have the number one issue. You should get like on being promised. Aside from that, I'd love to be actually from the office.
Elsie, thank you. R-E-G.
Being more stable, or just as I understand it, this is just reaffirm the fact that there is going to be liability inside of the policy. Is that correct?
You are not. Would you like me to take your time to explain it?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Just so you understand, we are reaffirming the continued work that should not have been stopped. This project will, at some point, be taken up with all our other Measure A projects sometime in the future when we determine how much money we have to spend on Measure A projects.
The reason I ask that, the voters of these type of policy have been done as part of the second part that they approved on 70% margin. I think the law does think that having rapid bus would be a great idea fiscally. The select the response because if you decide to cancel or defer like that, you have to do the same for the other project.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks.
All right, we have Christina Cunningham. Gustavo Gonzalez, Carlos De Silva, and then Megan Williams.
As a member of the Downtown East Valley Policy Advisory Board, I strongly agree with and support the executive advisory board.
Gustavo, you're next. You'll be followed by Carlos, Megan, and then Margaret Obizumi.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm not going to reiterate what everybody said. I totally agree with them in favor of continuing the social defense space. As a board of trustees in the Elementary School District, I can tell you that if we continue to increase student achievement and start focusing on education at different schools, there's going to be a greater need for those parents and students to be around. So let me remind you, we did complete the North, South, and West lines, but it's pretty simple. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi, Carlos.
Yes.
Megan's approaching. She'll be followed by Margaret, and then Steve Bennett, Robert Bronson, Chris Clark, Michael Ludwig, and then more.
Good evening, I'm Margaret Opisini, Executive Director of Data Alliance. And I'm here to say, I'd like anybody in the community to know that even if the money is set sales tax for BART, we're facing the ballot and passed, that this would do nothing
nothing to alleviate the financial pressures that led to this resolution coming before you. Did nothing to alleviate the financial pressures that have been creating PTA staff to try to downsize, to revise this project to be a bus rapid transit instead of a light rail project. As long as the BART project is alive, it will continue to suck dollars from every other transit project in the county, as it's already happened with Dumbarton Rail, as has happened in SamTrans, when the SFO extension led to SamTrans cutting a third of its bus service 2 months after approving lending that project.
Thanks, Margaret.
That project money for cost of rent.
And then Steve Bennett, why don't you come down in that line? You can come a little closer if you'd like. I got Steve Bennett, then Robert Bronson, Chris Clark, Michael Ludwig. And Steve, just put that microphone right up to that mouth.
Yeah, you folks need to remember that we worked for us.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, Robert. I'm going to have Chris Clark, then Michael Ludwig, Mr. Perry, Helen Johnson, Ted Johnson, and then a few more.
I'm the president of Park Crescent Neighborhood Association. When Park, when Light Rail first was built, there were accusations made that it was built so that it would touch every council member's district. And now, 20 years later, I'm really
thank you. Hello, Michael.
Hi, I'm Michael Ludwig, and the motion, as I understand it, should be approved because the light rail extension to Eastridge needs to be kept. And by far the best reason is that Eastridge is a major transit center used by lots and lots and lots of people. In fact, I heard from the vice mayor's article that it's the busiest in the county. So it makes no sense to end the light rail just a couple miles short of it at the Elmont station. Build the short extension to Eastridge.
Thank you, Michael.
People need the choice, and it will increase ridership.
So, have Mr. Perry, Helen Johnson, and Ted Johnson. Doesn't make them that remind me. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, it's very nice to be a part of the project. But I did remind you of a couple of my students, not as honest. When you let your legalist class that's worse than your class, find the reasonable ones, you lost $2.5 billion. to add up the total value of the reputation of the service improvements, bus service improvements, liability usage, everything, right down to your 15 buses, is less than $2 billion. Can't make it up to promise. So, rather than making this promise, it's time to actually.
Helen, come on up. You'll be followed by Ted, and then Tom Grammer, perhaps? And then the last speaker will be Richard Zappelli.
Hi, my name is Ted Johnson.
Thank you. Got Tom and then Richard.
Hello, my name is Tom Grammer. I'm a commissioner of the Select Division of the San Jose City Motor Commission. I'm coming this fall. I also was concerned in the actions of the advisory committee to do a line item as a leader of this project. We have it stopped. We have not had authority to move forward because of concern that was amended. And comment was made and they did not want to interject politics into the process, but to me this is more of a item of politics versus promises. The promises were made 10 years ago. Taxpayers. Those promises need to be reaffirmed by this board to have our trust to help you do your job. The citizens of this great county should be able to do that and make life easier and more comfortable. I do appreciate the reaffirmation from this board. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard,
we'll round out a public speaking on this item. Richard Zappelli, looking more than the I don't have an insight, and I
thank you.
Thank you, Richard. With that last comment from the public, I'll bring this back up to the board for discussion. I actually have no names on the list yet. Dare I look? Well, perfect. There's a motion. There's a second. The motion was to reaffirm that the board of directors support the Capital Expressway Light Rail Extension to East Ridge Mall project as recommended by the Downtown East Valley Policy Advisory Board. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention. Great, thank you. We'll now go back in time to item 30. 30. Oh, Nancy's voting yes. It's unanimous. Let me just get over this. All right. We've got an equally as long, if not longer, item on the agenda here, and that is item 30. I'd like to ask again that you put your pagers and cell phones on silent or vibrate, for starters. The staff is going to give a brief report, and if I could get the cards for people who want to speak on this item sooner rather than later so that I can organize them, that would be great. Thank you very much. And Michael Burns, I think I'm going to kick item 30 over to you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Let me introduce this item following up on our last meeting, Committee of the Whole. I did discuss that there have been discussions from a varied and diverse group of stakeholders regarding the proposal to place a sales tax measure on the ballot to support the BART project. We received a letter on July 31st. It's included in your packet and should be on the back table as part of the agenda items if anybody hasn't seen it. Signed by a distinguished group of academic, labor, business, environmental, and civic leaders requesting that the VTA board act to place a measure on the ballot that would call for an 8-cent sales tax increase for the BART project. The proposed 8-cent sales tax would be restricted to cover BART operating and maintenance and ongoing costs and could not be applied to any other project. Further, it would only take effect upon the receipt of appropriate binding funding assurances from the state and federal government. If passed, this would allow us to demonstrate to the state and federal agencies that we have the capacity to cover the operating and maintenance costs. However, taxpayers would not be required to pay the tax until those commitments are assured by the state and federal agencies. In essence, what it means is you don't pay the tax unless there is a project that's fully funded. The BART project is projected to carry 98,000 riders per weekday. It provides a transportation foundation for land use development that reduces dependence on the automobile and will help Santa Clara County manage significant employment and population growth while keeping the region addressing the issue of climate change. The need to demonstrate this operation is required for us to continue to seek state and federal funds for the project. The tax would be a 30-year tax, and as a special tax would require a two-thirds vote of the electorate. The board has been provided with a copy of the analysis, which indicates from our financial analysis, our financial consultants, that the 8-cent tax covers the projected operating and maintenance costs. In addition, I want to advise the board that we've had several meetings with interested parties who continue to raise issues about efficiencies at VTA, particularly business groups. And we have agreed to a process with the San Jose Silicon Valley Chamber of Commerce to work with those groups to identify opportunities to improve efficiencies at VTA And I spoke with the Chamber President Pat Dando today to confirm our commitment to work with that committee. We are always interested in finding efficiencies, and to the extent that that effort yields opportunities, we would look forward to working with the Chamber and others. So with that, staff recommends that the board vote affirmatively to put this measure to the electorate. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any clarifying questions? Dominic?
Thank you, Chair Sandoval. I appreciate staff's support. I'm looking forward to comments from the public. I asked a few questions in the last few weeks that looked at the report today. I didn't get clarified, so I'd like to ask them to General Manager Burns. I understand that FDA has told our staff, the question that I have is that do we have anything in writing from FDA that says we can't get the $750 million in federal construction dollars? That's one question that I have. And the second one deals with BART. I understand that BART knows we have an ability to identify a new revenue source, say in the 2001 agreement. And my question is, do we have anything in writing with them as well? I think taking this to voters is a great idea, which I'm sure I'll have an opportunity to support tonight. I think transparency is great, and those are two clarifying questions that I had. And based on your response, is there anything that we can get agendized or put between now and Election Day at our October meeting or our joint meeting with BART in September?
With regard to the question about FTA, FTA has in statute and in their policies and procedures requirements that any expansion of service not take funds, operating funds from the existing service to fund for the expansion at the risk, at the expense of the existing service. So, they would not support a project that cuts service from the existing network to fund service on the expansion project. And that is in several parts of different regulations within FTA. We have provided that to some, and I can certainly provide that to you specifically. With regard to BART, we have a comprehensive agreement with BART. That comprehensive agreement calls for us to pay 100% of the operating costs of the extension, as well as a capital contingency, which would also be funded through the 8-cent sales tax. And as such, we are committed to pay 100% of the costs for BART. We have provided the analysis to them on the estimates that have been prepared by our financial consultants, who have in fact used financial model that FTA has approved, and they've done this work on for other projects that have received FTA approval. But BART has not gotten back to us yet. But regardless of that, we are committed and responsible for 100% of the operating cost.
Thank you for the clarification.
Madam Chair, is there public time to put a motion on the table, or is this simply for a clarifying question?
Both, but I think a motion would help focus the discussion.
I'd be happy to move the staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you.
There are wrestling over it.
Second.
Well, I say we give it to the highest bidder. All right.
I strongly support this measure, and I'll just give three reasons. As a kid, I was always a big fan of Magic Johnson. And Magic was a basketball player who always made every other player on the floor better. And that's why people love to watch him. And BART is already an extraordinary means of transport. 370,000 riders a day, with an extension to Milpitas, San Jose, Santa Clara, connection airport, people mover, will boost that by another 100,000. And it will increase ridership and fare box recovery on Caltrain, light rail, buses. The entire network is made better because of BART. This is part of a comprehensive transit solution. This is not just about one project at the expense of others. It's about this project, which makes every other project far more worthwhile. Secondly, this is about reducing our dependence on foreign oil. Clearly, we have been sending young Americans to die in the Middle East because we're unwilling to make investments that we need to be making here at home to cut that dependency. And this is an effort on our part to do our part. And finally, the 8 cent price that we would be paying. This 8 cent is going to be about the cost of a Cadillac on the Capital Auto Mall when gas moves to $10 a gallon. Because the car and a car-dependent culture will be a thing of the past, and we need to be thinking about the future. This is a small price to be paying for what we all hope will be a comprehensive move to a future which is transit-dependent with the kind of smart growth that we want, high-density development along transit corridors that we know is critical for saving our planet. At the same time, it's critical for our communities. So for all those reasons, I will support this measure.
Thank you. Let me suggest to the rest of my colleagues up here on the dais, though, that now we're going to go back to clarifying questions. I wanted to have a motion on the table to focus the discussion, and if you could clarify your questions to that. We do have time for comments after public speakers. Yoriko, and then Forrest. Thank you.
I'm willing to wait until after the speakers.
Perfect. See how that works? Okay. Anybody else here? Yeah.
One question about the cost on a per-person basis, per-family basis, per-unit basis. I know an 8% sales tax, you get a lot of millions of dollars, but I'm wondering if you've calculated the per-household basis on this. Because I've done the rough numbers. It's not too hard. You get to about $36 a year for the average household. Because a lot of the sales taxes are paid by business to business. So I just wondered if staff has done that calculation. Okay. A project to be done better. Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no other clarifying questions, what I'd like to do is, again, ask members of the audience to come up. And I will give off about 5 names, and I'll read the next 5 as we go farther into our stack. I'm not quite sure which of the clerks over there who will put the time back to 2 minutes, but now that we're in our regular agenda order, I think we can go back to a 2-minute time. I'm going to have Kevin, Lowell Grattan, Eugene Bradley, Rebecca Alcantar, and then Margaret Okazumi are the first 5 speakers. So if you could come up and assemble yourselves in order, that would be great. And Kevin, you may begin.
Hello, and good evening. I am here because I think it is time to finally put a stop to BART to San Jose, and it is finally time to put an end to this cash cow that has, to BTA's cash cow that has taken too much of our BTA money already. And I am looking at one gentleman right now by the name of Chuck Reed that I am really ticked off at right now.
Kevin, listen to me for 1 minute. If you think the chair of this board is going to entertain any attacks on my colleagues, you are sadly mistaken. We are talking about a project and about policy. If you'd like to continue, you may.
But, okay, now I will continue.
Thank you.
I am going to say that when I voted for a certain person on this board, he agreed. He one of the things he told us was that he was against bringing BART to San Jose. And I resent him changing his mind now. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I am not in favor of BART to San Jose.
I kind of guessed that. All right. Thank you. Hello.
you're going to need to use... Well, you'd have to ask the chair of the board, and unfortunately he's not chairing this meeting, so he doesn't get to answer. But you're going to have to use a handheld.
One, two, Lowell Bratton. I'm on the executive committee of the American Dream Coalition, a national organization concerned with mobility and affordable housing. I am in all the signs here, point to San Jose. I was here in 1920, and this is the sign that was up. It didn't say park. It put it on the ballot, measure 8. Put it on the ballot, traffic relief now. And I have a letter here from Gardino. Traffic relief, it's about time. And their website, trafficreliefnow.com. The point is, we did not vote for park to San Jose. This was a smooth, upper inflation booklet. Get people moving, but it was not Mark San Jose. So now some friends from the P2 Institute did a study of Mark San Jose. They read the EIR. If you read it, it says it does not take help relieve soaring gas prices to combat climate change. Hey, if I'm Indian, I save the whole world.
Lowell, your time is up.
The solution is...
Lowell? Yeah. I know it's...
Stresses.
Well, I know it's difficult, but your time is up. Thank you. Hey, let me run this meeting, cowboy. Eugene,
right.
You're on.
Right. Eugene Bradley, Santa Clara BTA, Watchdog. I remember back in 2000, I was just getting the group started. 0.5 cent Woodall, Art, this is Lake Grail. About years later, light rail buses, I noticed that there's basically been a drop in bus fleets since about 2002 in the meanwhile of all this talk. I remember reading a memo back in 2007 that even if this 8 cent pass passes, of which I had to consult the governor himself to actually get permission to do, still have to come back in about 2 to 3 years. Ask people again. Since it's clear that you want to do another sales tax like you tried to do in 2006, I don't know how that worked out. There needs to be some honesty. If you're going to do this, at least be honest with voters. Tell them how much the sales tax are going to really mean. 1%, 2%, or more. Honesty you'll find is the best policy, even in government. So, if you're going to have a sales tax for BART, at least tell the voters the truth.
Thank you, Eugene. We've got Rebecca, Margaret Okazumi, and then Assembly Member Ira Wiskin.
My name is Rebecca, and I'm Assembly Member Kelly Yates from the Senate. She's in Sacramento. So I'm here in support of the 1-8 cent social tax increase. Assembly Member Kelly Yates feels that expansion is very important for the district, as it will fill in the missing and the regional transportation system. She feels that this sales tax is
Thank you, Rebecca. Margaret? Margaret, you're going to have to hold the handheld still. Thank you.
Margaret Opezini, Executive Director of Data Alliance. BTA's General Manager recently presented a financial forecast in regards to the operating and maintenance costs of the BART extension to San Jose. The memo is dated August 4th, 2008, with the subject, BART Operating Subsidy. The memo asserts that the proposed 1-8-cent sales tax will cover our payment to BART for operations, maintenance, fixed overhead, and future capital reserve contributions. The calculation shows a reserve at the end of 2036. A careful analysis finds BTA's presentation to be an incomplete representation of the cost. It omits key information about details of the agreements that BTA made with BART. If we apply the terms of the comprehensive agreement between BART and BTA that was made in 2001, and otherwise use staff's numbers, not only would BTA use up its reserves, it would have a deficit even with the proposed 28-cent sales tax. We are distributed to explanation of these contract elements. We estimate that with a new 1-cent sales tax, when the BART line opens in, say, 2017, that BT will be underwater by at least $15 million a year under the terms of this agreement. The red ink continues throughout the life of Measure A. The tax is inadequate for the task. The memo from the general manager omits information regarding BTA's mandatory annual funding to BART that is outlined in a comprehensive agreement. It also omits information about the 30% maximum capital reserve contribution and overhead that is required on top of the operating and maintenance costs. The general manager's memo mentions only the minimum required capital contribution. In simple terms, the terms of the agreement are such that there cannot be surpluses for BTA resulting from the proposed 1-8-cent sales tax.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you. All right, after Assemblymember Ira Ruskin, we'll hear from Greg Perry, Michael Ludwig, Andrew Paxson, Jody Hansen, and Doug McNay, and then a bunch of others.
Good evening, Chair Thunderwall, and members of the board. It's a pleasure to see you all here tonight. I come to urge you to place this measure on the ballot. I'm in support of your doing that, and I will also support the measure when it is on the ballot. I think this is a very important issue. Someone who serves on the Transportation Committee in the Assembly, and who also, I also chair the Budget Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Both issues come to play here. The BART extension is critical for many reasons. First of all, it's very important as an extension of mass transit. It allows us to accomplish certain environmental goals, including affording people an option to their cars and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. It also affords people an option to the high price of gasoline. And it helps us create one of the things that we need most in the Bay Area. We need it very much throughout the country. But in the Bay Area, it helps us create a more comprehensive mass transit and rapid transit system. And this is good for a variety of reasons, all of which I think you understand very well. It's also important that we do this in order to have funds that we can show that we can match federal funds. And so I'm here to thank you for considering this and to urge you to place it on the ballot. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ira. Greg? Not seeing Greg Perry? There it is. Okay, so if I could get those speakers to line up, be respectful of everybody's time, that would be awesome. So again, to remind you, it's Greg, then Michael, then Andrew, then Jody, then Deb.
Going on, ask yourselves, why don't we have a financial problem? Nearly 2001, sales tax money was billion. In 2006, new sales tax was passed. And this April, we finally admitted that the sales tax reduction will be off. So you could say we have had
5 to 15 years, and the early kind of graph, noting how crude it has values in it. Now, it took me about half an hour to get the values in it. But you haven't gotten one out of your staff in the case. So, they're a lot better. Two possibilities. One is that they managed amazingly difficult things in the financial population before the business was done. The other is, they don't want you to know how that situation is sitting. You don't have enough money to build this economy. If you add up the lines for art and the people in the middle of that gap, here, and you add up the lines for the present value of the money you're going to get from this 2000 can't build. I'm not even talking about the money. I'm talking about the cost of the money. I'm talking about paying the costs. I'm talking about anything. You don't have enough money to build parts, let alone parking lots. So when you tell people park yes, they're flat on line. You don't have enough money to build parts. And I'm very disappointed to us now to go so long.
Right. Your time is up. So you're just going to have to wait until the next time we discuss this. Thank you. Michael.
The reason I'm opposed to this tax and the BART extension in particular, even though BART is a very good, it's a very good rail system, I am opposed to this because BART extensions have historically had cost overruns, which I fear will happen here. And another reason is that I heard that this 1/8-cent sales tax will only cover $42 million of the $50 million per year that it will cost to operate BART. I heard that a while ago. I don't know if it's true. But I fear it's true. In fact, all other signs I've seen point to the fact that this BART project will not enhance all the other mass transit in the county. Instead, it'll drain funds from all the other mass transit projects in the county. And I fear we're going to become like SanTrans and have to do bus service cutbacks at the end of this project, and I don't want that. We need to delay BART until a time when we can really afford it, which is not now.
Thank you, Michael. We've got Andrew, and then Jody, and then Deb. All the way up to your mouth, Andrew.
I really appreciate the time tonight. Thank you for your patience. My name is Andrew Patson. I'm here to urge you to support the BART sales tax. One thing that people have not considered so far in this discussion is that BART will boost economic vitality here in the county by linking the county with other counties in the Bay Area. Three reasons. First, BART will give county residents access to job opportunities throughout the Bay Area. Residents that are permanently restricted to either their Cardinal area or slow bus service can go to work in Oakland or San Francisco in the East Bay. Local businesses will profit by attracting new employees from Contra Costa and Alameda and all the outlying counties. Bringing in better employees will boost economic vitality here. Lastly, a new BART line will support redevelopment throughout the eastern half of the county. This will bring new office and retail space, as well as new housing developments that will promote transit-oriented development. It will also lead to a revitalized downtown San Jose. In conclusion, I appreciate you supporting the project, the BART, and thank you for your help.
Thank you, Andrew. Jody?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and board members. This is Jody Sanson, representing the San Jose Silicon Valley Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber has a long record of support for BART extension to San Jose. We have appreciated negotiated the opportunity to meet with General Manager Michael Burns and his staff for a number of months to discuss our interest in working with ETA on long-term solutions for improving operating efficiency. This is a critical factor in ensuring there will be sufficient and sustainable funding to bring our decisions safe. We now ask the board to establish the Business Advisory Committee to continue working on a regular basis on identifying ways in which ETA can increase operating efficiency. The chief of board directors will consider the well measure at their next meeting in September. Thank you again for your help.
Thanks, Jody. Okay, after Doug speaks, we're going to have Tom Sawyer, Yolanda Reynolds, Norma Klein, Rod Duradon Sr., and then Noel Tiva.
Well, I'm Doug McNay, president of the Silicon Valley Taxpayers Association. There's a world that works and there's a world that fails. ETA lives in the world that fails. This tax measure will fail to relieve congestion, fail to reduce dependence on foreign oil, fail to relieve soaring gas prices, and fail to combat climate change. I did more to combat climate change when I went out and bought my new hybrid car, and I'm thankful that I didn't have to pay this inflated sales tax to find a park to San Jose, because my hybrid car is a better solution than park to San Jose. VTA has another failure that can't find enough money to fulfill the Measure 8 promises, which was another agenda item on tonight's agenda. VTA is ever-growing taxpayer sinkhole. Void the hole, vote no on the next VTA tax, the never-ending stream of VTA sales tax measures. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Hey, Tom.
Good evening. I'm Tom Sawyer, president of the Tom Sawyer Taxpayers Association. I've seen this $1.2 billion proposal as yet another solution to the high gas price and dependence on foreign oil. But at best, it's 10 years before Bob gets here. In 10 years, cars will be more efficient than today's grids. San Jose's knowledge workers have the ability to shift their job schedules so that they don't necessarily have to commute 50 hours. Therefore, it will be very much easier for them to continue to drive in a manner that is both faster and cheaper than using a car. In essence, the love affair with the car will continue. A lot of people are trying to tell folks how to live by getting up to the transit. If you really want to move people, there are a lot better ways than what will be 50-year-old park by the time it gets here. For instance, we can work with MTC to put high-speed buses on the freeway. Building small bus stations near the off-ramps would be a lot cheaper. When the buses aren't running, you can run freight and cars on the freeway. When BART is running, nothing happens. You've got the world's most expensive dedicated right-of-way doing nothing from basically 10 o'clock at night until 7 o'clock. That's really high use, expensive use of what is very expensive use. The $36 today, given the testimony you heard earlier, is most likely a down payment. Someone once said that the only reason Americans don't own an elephant is that nobody's offered one for a dollar down for a dollar use.
I want to use that discussion on item is evidence again the lack of clarity all between the time of our ETA managers and actually oversight of the board on what ETA does. It is Education Committee. I just reaffirm the comments that previously by Margaret O'Keefe, Richard Bradley, Greg Perry, and Tom Sons. I hope you will listen to that because they had something to tell me. And I think so many people have ambitions. The leadership group is the only university in this town. And I also want to say there's probably going to be a chance for the Valley Edmund Center. I support that for everybody, but not the Barnes Center. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, I'm Norman Klein. I'm Brooklyn Side San Jose. We've been in Saratoga for a little while and still downtown San Jose now. Directly to the point is when Measure A was passed, it was identified that we needed to identify official revenue for wages run the program. This seems to be banned revenue to run and it's important for that period of time. The issue then is not necessarily, you know, identify something we have. Should we go ahead and vote for it? I think we should. We support more. So there's no layer to this. It's the cohort and the compassion. And this comes from the fact that everything on Measure A is not built in a timely manner. Therefore, we have to prioritize the city council. My point is it's very difficult for a government agency like you built the city council members primarily to prioritize something that the voters have voted to do. Extremely difficult. You all represent cities with voters. Expect you to bring home the bacon. Right? This is the bacon. Heard a little bit of tonight. Extremely difficult. So my point is, whether you are for Mark or against Mark, you should be for this putting the sales commission on the ballot because this is a perfect referendum. Ask the voters to say, is Mark still your highest priority among these items? If it passes, you will have your direction. If it doesn't pass, we'll have your direction.
Thanks, Mark. Do I have Jared Senior? Welcome.
Jared Donnelly, it's nice to be here. And it's nice numbers. Although I don't miss this. Jared, it hasn't been duty paper this evening. I'm here to represent the incarceration voters. Don't always agree with the chambers, but most of you are manufacturers that we do on this project because it meets all of our objectives. Remember back in 1976 we adopted a master plan for transportation for this campus. It included all of the aspects of transportation. We know it was going to be built today. It was going to be built in the next decade or decades, but in the next century. You're online for doing that. It's agonizingly so. Everybody gets concerned about it. But you're online to do it. Just go straight to that objective. This is one element. You can't get a tax route for buses. You can't get a tax route for light rail. You can't get a tax route for highways. But you can get a tax route for BART. You need that budget. If you don't spend the rest of the budget on the BART program, operating funds, you can subsidize the rest of operating budget, and you'll be able to subsidize the equipment from this vehicle. And that will save the money and the rest of the budget for the other part of the transportation. So use the opportunity to help the support for the market. Pass this tax, and you can't get other taxes, you can have tax and pass for transportation. And we'll connect with this one more step. There's one more little break. This whole massive process of moving your master plan to multiple. And once it's been which we use the same provision program with the paper.
Thank you, after Noel, if you don't mind for one moment, we're going to have Assembly Member Jim Bell, then Carrie Hamilton, Neil Struthers, Dr. Ola Robert Hassan, then he will be followed by Mary Crenshaw.
Thank you.
name is Hall Tebow. My club, the Modern Expansion Society, has supported many important transit projects over the years, over 30 years. Light rail, high speed train to California, and the BART to Santa Clara. We're not here to argue, but I have two points that I'd like to make. One is one of clarification. I'd like some clarification on the specific wording of the BART tax proposal. Operate park and an airport building. Won't the new tax money go to the BTA general fund to be allocated responsibly to all projects of need? Does this guarantee money to operate the airport people mover and a longer part? And does this mean that we exclude money to operate events and the BTA park rail? Plus, we need them all. We do support park, we support park, we don't put much people. I'll take my answer when I'm done. My second question, and this might be a little too subtle for a hot cold on argument time, but you know, you could make our support a whole lot easier if the board would have the oversight to put deeper than sound bites and insist on a newer, high-tech, much lower cost, fully automated version of BART. The current BART design is over 40 years old. You should have the cojones to tell the staff to make this project better, lower cost, or resign so we can find somebody who can do it. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll get those questions answered at the end of our presentation. So I'm going to have Assemblymember Bell, and then if Carrie Hamilton would line up thereafter, following her will be Neil, Dr. Hassan, and then Mary Crenshaw. It looks like Crenshaw.
I'm here today. I look at this from a fiscal standpoint, it's a very fiscal conservative proposal. It really is not a major increase in the sales tax. You could have looked at a much greater increase. This is a more fiscally conservative, smaller increase, and I think that would be respectful of the situation that a lot of people in our county are in terms of the economy. We're not asking for a very large increase. But at the same time, from an economic standpoint, I'd like to point out that if we do have jobs, to boost the economy with this particular project, I'm pretty certain that the amount of sales revenue that comes into Santa Clara County as a result of this project and completion of this project will actually exceed the amount of the tax increase that we're considering. So for an economic cost benefit, I think you find that this is a positive plus. In fact, if you look at the amount of federal funds and state funds that you would achieve with this sales tax increase, I dare say that you would probably have enough money in those sales tax that federal and state funds pot of money that would stimulate so much jobs and employment that you'll have enough sales tax revenue to pay to equal the amount of money that you're increasing the tax. So I think this is a fiscally sound proposal. I think it's a conservative proposal. The voters should look at this as a conservative tax increase. It's not a major tax increase. It's a tax increase that draws down.
Mr. Assemblymember? Thank you.
Many times.
That might work in your legislature. Thank you, Jim. No, don't do that. I just want to let you all know I'm trying to be fair to each speaker here. Carrie.
Thank you very much. We do support putting the measure forward to the voters. Straightforward manner the voters appreciate, and I think it would be a violation of the public has option that the voters decide since they've already made a large investment in the CARES Foundation and the BART. So I think that voters should hear the debate, both sides, and have the opportunity to make a decision. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carrie. Neil, before you start, I just want to make sure Dr. Hassan is here. And if so, if he could, okay, thank you. And he'll be followed by Mary Crenshaw, then Dennis Wan, Elizabeth Brierley, and then Richard Savelli.
Good evening, Board. My name is Neil Struthers. I'm the head of the Building Trades Council for Santa Clara and San Diego Counties. It's an organization that represents approximately 30,000 families who depend just on this type of project to survive in this county. So it should come as no surprise that the trades and labor as a whole support business on the ballot for the voters to decide. In my short period of time here, I want to talk about three things that haven't been touched on yet, and as to why we support it. First of all, BART was arguably the key reason in 2000 that Measure A passed. We still need to pursue that promise to the voters. Two, one would argue that we are on the verge of a recession. Some would argue we're in a recession. And I think history and Franklin Delano Roosevelt proved that you can actually build your way out of a recession, not only a recession, but a depression. It's well proven, there's no debate, that the investment in public works, return on investment in the community is no greater, is the greatest return on public investment through the creation of good jobs and the recycling of that investment through the community. So it's not just that we're taxing ourselves to buy trains, we're creating jobs through this. And last, anytime you can leverage federal or state dollars, you must endeavor to do so. Leaving money on the table has never been seen as good leadership, whether you're in the public or the private sector. So it's a non-question. We urge you to put this on the ballot and let the voters decide.
Thank you, Neil. Dr. Hassan.
Hello. I'm really excited to be a part of the talk today. Every time we see everything about taxes and passing it to the public, it's always anxiety. People don't get taxed for anything but taxes. And what I'm in support of is the industry voter. I'm really in support of business, big politics. We love in this country. That's what we are going to make a decision by the people. And we need to help to carry this decision with the people. You actually, all of you have lived in the Silicon Valley for over 30 years. I've worked in Silicon Valley for people who bought out of my own company. And I live in the theaters now. I'm in the theaters. That's the only donor, really. So what San Jose is going to go around the corridor. The theaters is going to be one of the beneficiaries of this initiative if it passes. And we have to understand, you travel, you have to understand the level of mass transportation. Other part of the world, go to England, go to Japan, go to any part of Asia, it's very, very crucial and critical for us to have this type of drug and what's going to bring to the community. And look at the commerce aspect of it, the industrial aspect of it, and the employment aspect of it, and the reduction of the gas emission that we are. Because one is an island in the theaters, and we have to go and pick everybody up as possible. Working with these people, free money to bring them to Mount Everest. It's not giving us any money. We are spending a lot of money. So I would appreciate it. This issue is brought to the board and let us make a decision. We need that. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Mary.
Hi, I apologize for not getting my name.
Thank you.
I am here on behalf of Deja Hope. Ask me to work this. This is a very important
After Dennis, we'll have Elizabeth Brierley, Richard Zappelli, Jim Stallman.
Please don't get close. That is totally disrespectful of any woman in this room. Please do not do that.
Dan Gordon, James Purcell, and then a few after that. And if you have a card out there still, please make sure it gets out to me. Dennis, you may begin.
Good evening. My name is Dennis Wan, the Chinese Chamber of Commerce of Santa Clara. And I come here to support the extension to 08. This should have been done years ago. I'd like to see what, in fact, connecting north, south, maybe future, connect even to Sumatel County. And Union Park, because of it was good for business and for the future of San Jose. San Jose is one of the largest cities in California, or also in the United States. So every largest city or major city has a good mass transit in order to prosper. So as far as the tax is concerned, there's no free lunch. You have to pay something to get something. So the tax increase is necessary. I think we are supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Hey, Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth Fireman, and a member of the San Jose City Structural Budget Deficit Elimination Task Force. We need a cross-president of the Taxpayers Association. Member of Citizens of Transportation. Transportation. And I would like to ask you, please be accountable. The Congress are arguing for the whether we are already in session or going into one. So if you want more of something, charge less of it. If you want less of something, charge more of it. Charge after 8 sales tax are going to have poor sales, stands on the drive of 2020. Please leave that those funds in the hands of private issues of the true creators of jobs. Taxing our citizens to create government jobs is not a divine better than the deficit of our position. Rail is the least flexible way of moving mobility from the ground for our community districts. Please use the existing infrastructure and bigger funds into a more flexible method of moving.
Thank you. We have Richard Spelly.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Richard, you might, if you want to tell us about that lunch, you might have to put that mic closer.
I just want to tell you that they told me this kind of scary. It's really good here. So what this is the thing, what this is the for this project. I wanted us to begin with this is the last point. Because most of you are people are possible. Most of the people are Christian. They're impossible.
Thank you, Richard. F. Jim Stallman, Dan Gordon, James Purcell, and then Jason Sims.
Hi, I'm Jim Stallman. It looks like this weather got a little worse, I think, according to the map. My concern is that it doesn't say that, well, it appears to say that the tax being collected before service starts. And as a voter, I've always made the expectation that the operating costs tax would be collected when service starts. So that isn't clear to me as a voter. I would vote against it for the reason we did. The other thing is, of course, it doesn't say that it takes the place of the TEA $48 million. So quite possibly, worst case, we could end up allocating $48 million twice. Open Mart would love that. They already love the $48 million because San Mateo County only takes $14 million, and they can't even come up with that. They put poverty and pay $10 million. So we're paying close to $50 million for service. And it's not unusual for BTA to pay a premium for things. Lastly, according to MTC's own figures, bus service has been cut in this county by 53% since 2000, the year that the 2000 Measure 8 sales tax was passed. And that even before the measuring sales tax for BART was starting collecting, this board managed to allocate or spend over $1 billion for BART. So you guys got a hold of Visa card. I think you can do whatever you want to do, but if you want to get this this ballot proposition or passed by the voters, you might want to do a little more work with it there.
Thanks, Jim. Hello, Dan.
Hi, I'm Dan Gordon, your local brewer, and also passionate about two things, beer and BART. and probably right now, BART more so, because it's like when I born in San Jose, I'm a long time ago. I grew up in 1974, we had BART. It was a great time brew. I lived, went to school Berkeley, was able to take it to San Jose, for Berkeley, so it's good for my work. In grad school, I had the pleasure of living in Munich, which had a phenomenal mass transit system. You can get anywhere, any person, anywhere, any time of the day, using mass transit. So we deserve that. We're an extremely advanced society. It's embarrassing when you compare our region to other parts of the world. Why we don't have water, why we don't have the round today is another thing to get ready. And, you know, this is a nice baby step for Dr. Wagner. Obviously, it's a support sentiment of the past president's still part of this eloquently.
Thank you. Hey, James.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Jim Purcell. I'm the Vice President of University Relations at Santa Clara University. And I'm here on behalf of our president, Paul Locatelli, who was unable to be here tonight. And as you probably know, Paul Locatelli expressed his views in a commentary piece in the Mercury recently, urging you to put this issue on the ballot. And I hope you will give us, the voters of this county, a chance to share with you again how we feel about BART. It's going to take two-thirds of us to pass this bill. And if we can't get the two-thirds, then as some previous speakers have said, we have some additional direction from the voters about what we need to do in terms of priorities. From the university's perspective, our priorities are clear. We want clean air. We want cheaper energy. We want better transportation. We want affordable housing along transit corridors. And we want those for our faculty, our staff, our students, and for the greater community. I happen to be a resident of Los Gatos. And I will hope that my neighbors will support this. But if they don't, I hope that I can have with them a reasonable conversation. Listen to them respectfully, the way you have listened to us respectfully tonight. And I will do my best to urge them respectfully to support how I see it. But if they see it differently, so be it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. But Jason Sims, he'll be followed by Joseph Corona and then Carl Gordina.
Jason Sims, probably with Carpenter. I'd like to also support everybody else that's been out here. Bill Alfred Park, New York, City down here, San Jose. It's not that I don't support the Hondas and Toyotas, but I do like to support my economy down the whole country. So for that, I'd like to say it's very hard to sound good.
Thank you, Jason.
Good evening.
Good evening, Joseph.
How's it going? I'm Joseph Cronin with the Neighbors Local Society. I've been with it for 3 years. Thank you. We support this project. I want to say it's a long-term investment. You know, short-term, takes a lot of work for a lot of working people that live in the Santa Clara County. In the long-term, it's a life for a lot of people that's the way to go. You know? And it's a lot, and also you guys said it's a big investment. Yes, it is, but so it's going to stay here and not go out of the country. Thank you.
Thank you. Carl, are you in the house?
There you are.
Thank you.
stuff.
Thank you, Kyle. I had one late car come in, and because he came from the South County, I'm an 11th speak, he's a colleague of a fellow city council, so Peter Ariano, please come down. But I guarantee he's the last speaker, publicly, then we'll bring it back.
Yes, I invited the speaker from you because basically I wouldn't be able to work in South County. So, right now, I just want to encourage you, since we're in the middle of Silicon Valley, so it's not going to, and we depend on transportation, what we're doing, late 19th century, automobiles and trains. It's the time for us to just move forward and join the rest of the world. We just need to spend it. Now, I'm just here to ask you to just go, put more miles down to build one, and it would be great. So I'm putting my pitch in to extend Bar down and help us decrease some of this congestion we have and also the people space. Okay, thank you very much, and I know you'll do the right thing and send it to the voters and ask us.
Thank you, Peter. All right, so I had a couple people on the speakers list prior to going to the public, and so I'm going to start with those two. And as soon as they start, if you put your hands up, I'll be sure to recognize you. So I'm going to start first with Yorika, and then I'll go to Forrest.
Thank you. I'd like to start with one question, and then I do have some comments. I guess the question has to do with the handout that was given by the Bay Rail Alliance, and according to figures that they bring us, actually, if I could call your attention to the last page of their handout on their stationery, there's a spreadsheet, and according to the spreadsheet, and if you compare that to the spreadsheet that's in the staff report, which came to us on August 4th, which and this is about whether the 8-cent sales tax would cover the operating costs, the O&M, and the capital reserve. So the two analyses actually come to completely opposite conclusions. The staff report says that by the end of 2036, we will have a surplus of $500 million. And according to the Bay Rail Alliance, we have a deficit of $424 million, or about $500 million. So I was going to ask if staff had any quick response to the analysis, and
obviously we just received this, so we haven't had a chance to look at it in depth, but I think one of the major differences between this analysis and our analysis is that this analysis assumes that that $48 million figure in the agreement that we have with BART is a firm fixed number. And that's not the case. We will pay what the actual operating costs are. That $48 million figure was used as a placeholder to establish the quarterly payments to BART, which are then reconciled against the actual costs. So we're not committed to that $48 million figure inflated, you know, by whatever those inflation criteria are in the agreement for the future of the BART program. We're committed and we're responsible for paying the actual operating costs, and those are the numbers that are in our analysis.
Okay. I mean, my understanding is, and I did go back to, you know, look at the comprehensive agreement between BTA and BART as well, is that that the model does work, and we front the $48 million, and then actually
right.
we calculate the actual
right.
Except that there seems to be this clause that we pay between the 5% and 30% percentage. And if it is below, I think if our advance payment falls below 5%, then they could come to us and bill us. If it falls above 30%, they would return it. But if you look at go back to their spreadsheet again, they do show that between a minimum and maximum, it basically falls less than that 30% capital contribution, which seems to say that we would be paying that $15 million. And
well, that may say that. I'm not sure that's accurate. But it again, it's something that we just received. We'll have to look at it. One of the points of this analysis that it doesn't include, which is in response to one of the questions that was asked, is when will this tax start?
Mm-hmm.
And it would start, according to the language, it would start upon the assurance of the federal and state funding. That assurance would come before the actual revenue service date. And if you look at our analysis, you'll see that there are several years, I think we sort of conservatively said 4 years, where the tax would be collected and reserved for future operating costs, and that does feed into the calculation of covering the operating maintenance costs of the capital reserve.
Okay, I understand you haven't had enough time to look at it, but when I do look at it, I mean, it seems to have some merit. So, so to me, this does call into the question of whether the 8 cent does cover the cost. So, I'd be curious to hear a staff response at a later date, because it's not just in 5 years. At the end of 30 years, they say there's like $500 million deficit just from the operating costs. So,
well, I think their analysis shows a deficit starting the first year.
Oh, that's right.
So,
it's every year.
Yeah, like I said, we just got this. And, we'll take a look at it and give you our response to it.
Okay. So, if I could have a few minutes to just, because I'm a very big transit fan and a big rail fan. People who know me know that. I rarely use my car. So, I mean, it is with a heavy heart that I'm going to have to put my opposition to the 8 cent sales tax. And because I know there's a lot of fans here at BART, I mean, I would like a few minutes just to explain my position. I'd like to start by saying that we have done the financial analysis to show that even a quarter cent is insufficient to build and operate the Measure A program as proposed. And this fall, we were due to do a thorough review of Measure A projects. This includes the Downtown East Valley, that, as we talked about this earlier this evening, the Dumbarton Rail, which has been kind of beginning to get pushed aside in the Measure 2 discussions, the Caltrain electrification, which is dear to my heart, as well as Mark. And we agreed on the process. We agreed on board criteria. We have not had a chance to do that process. So I don't like us kind of shortcutting that process. I'm also very frustrated just overall that that we, VTA, and just local government overall does a relatively poor job in this case of presenting true choices, informed choices to the voters. So if, for example, the board knew that compared to building BART, that we could spend less money, get higher transit ridership, significantly reduce energy consumption and greenhouse gas emissions, and preserve the same travel time per trip, and improve transit and car access to jobs, would we recommend that alternative to the voters? I think we should. And for that analysis, actually, I went back to the MTC 2030 EIR. There was a gentleman who kind of waved at EIR and said, nobody reads EIR. I love reading EIRs. And that EIR actually looked at several real alternatives in addition to the MTC 2030 project, which included BART and, quite a few highway widenings, kind of business as usual. They also looked at two other choices, I guess, in a big way. One was a hot lane scenario that put a big emphasis on a hot lane network throughout the Bay Area. And then another one was the smart growth scenario. And the smart growth scenario included road pricing, just as we're talking about for MTC, such as charging for some BART parking and employee parking, eliminated many, if not all the high of the highway widenings, and substituted a modern rail service using self-propelled cars on standard gauge for BART. Interestingly, they said that the environmentally preferred alternative was no project, followed by the smart project, smart growth project. And then if you use energy consumption as the marker for greenhouse gas emissions, because I know a lot of us are paying attention to that, the no project, the hot lane project, and the smart project were all roughly about the same, and they were all 18% used 18% less energy than the project, which included BART. So, and for Santa Clara County, smart growth showed slightly more hours of vehicle delay, but a 28% increase in transit ridership. So today we've spent $400 million on BART, and much of it is on the right-of-way acquisition and engineering work, which could be applicable to different rail technologies. And the last, we don't know yet how much BART is going to cost. The last time we had a figure was $6.2 billion in 2006. And this, in a couple months, we're supposed to get an update since we're just completing 65% engineering. So we don't know if it's more or less. And so the other 94% of the estimated cost is yet to be spent. So there's still time to confirm whether we are truly doing the best that we can. And my frustration with the last VTP 2030 was that we were going to spend tens of billions, about $20 billion on transit and highway expansion, but there was almost no impact on transit modal share. And I just can't support a plan like that. So I strongly recommend that we finish our analysis on Measure A, be open to looking at alternatives for all projects, whether it's Caltrain electrification or downtown East Valley, or all the pet projects that are close to all of our hearts, and kind of look on a system basis to see what could be Silicon Valley is technology center. We should be looking at the best available technology. My personal vision is that Caltrain will become more BART-like through electrification and new cars, and BART will become more Caltrain-like with more express cars, express trains, and hopefully at some point some high standard gauge, which will be compatible with high-speed rail. So in Santa Clara County, we have to have a cross-platform transfer somewhere, whether it's at Dearden or whether it's at Berryessa, or warm springs. And so, I mean, I hope that we can unite the county and be a transportation leader by championing the next generation BART. And I call this BART 2, and practice civic engagement by truly soliciting the best ideas from both experts and from our well-informed citizens. Silicon Valley badly needs and deserves a smart, green, efficient transportation system. The Measure A that was voted in will bring in $200 million a year. So there's a lot we can do to use that, and we can leverage that through not another sales tax, which is the most regressive tax that's possible, but development impact fees, tax increment financing, because as we build BART stations or Caltrain stations, there's going to be more value added. There's sales tax is the worst way to pay for transit. So I think, you know, we're at a critical turning point for Silicon Valley. I mean, we have a fifth generation economy with a first or second generation transportation system. And, you know, we've been criticized for the governance structure. And part of it, I think, is that we just don't have a system for really bringing true alternatives to the people. So that is why I'm going to be voting on 8 cent sales tax.
Thank you, Yorika. Next on the list is Forrest. Forrest will be followed by Chuck, Ken, Pete, and then Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will try to be brief.
Thank you.
Well, I've heard many discussions tonight, many recommendations. I've heard those in opposition. I've heard those in favor. It is our job to make a decision in terms of what we believe based on the input that we've got and our responsibility for transportation that is to make a decision. Now, the real decision, we're just making a decision to put it on the ballot. The voters will make the final decision. We have come forth tonight with all projections of what the deficit will be, what it won't be, what I see, what I think. That's mute. It's filler. It's our view. But the real test is the voters and our ability to educate the voters in terms of where we're going and what we need to do. Measure B. Let's look backwards. When we did the Measure B project, we did not have all of the money to fund all the projects that were considered on the Measure B. We put them on a list, those that were Measure B projects. We said, we're going to do those. And we'll put the ones here as we go forth to get additional monies from federal, state. It means that we'll work towards making it occur and making it happen. So we were able to do all of the Measure B projects because we said they were important, and that they were not cast away. They were just looked at in regards to what the measure said and the needs and taking the action to go forth and find additional funding. But we'll have to do that with BART. We won't ever get enough money to never have to challenge or do anything. We've got to move forward in the sense that we know that we're going to have to go forward for additional dollars, state dollars, federal dollars. But if we sit and say, do nothing, then there will come a time when the escalation will be out of reach. We know that we're going to increase in population. ABAC gives us those statistics. And jobs are going to come to this valley. ABAC has given us those statistics. So what should we do? Just do nothing? That's not sound. That's not the Silicon Valley way. We accept challenges here. It should be our pride to have this debate and look at what we need to do. We ought to be talking about how do we do it. Not, let's not do it, but what does it take for us to do it? Those are the challenges. That's why I'm on the board. I'm not here to say, well, gee, we can't do it. So what I should just, and if that's the case, we should just disband and not be and just let the world roll as it rolls. I feel very important that it is our responsibility
to take Bart and take the challenge and deliver Bart to San Jose. It should have been done years ago. When the Measure A was passed, we had to wait almost 6 years before we actually could start using the funding. Prices escalate. Right? Materials, employee funding for employment, all those things continue to escalate. So we were sort of like behind the eight ball before we could actually start using the money. But we accept the challenge. We need to do that. Around the bay, every other major city in this country that has a bay, they have a transportation system around the bay. I lived in Tokyo for 5 years. In Tokyo itself, there are over 12 million people each day that's moved to their transportation system. They don't do it by bus. They do it by rail. Buses are good locally, small, but to move volumes, the bus is not the answer. Rail is the answer. So, I feel very strongly that we should pursue BART. We should put it on the measure on the ballot. We should work and educate the public about what it is we're trying to do. And we should look forward to this challenge, and we should accept the challenge and move forward and make it happen. That's just my nature. I don't believe in not. That's something we can't. I just don't believe it. That's some mythical thing. Can't. And I believe that we can do it. We have the will to do it. We all get together and work, and we can make it happen. And that's where I am, and I want us to accept that type of responsibility. Now, the technology, BART is just a big electric cabin on a big electric motor. The electrons haven't changed, and that they're there. I mean, they will be there. They'll be electrons forever and ever. So it's just a matter of how we configure the cabin and how the seats are arranged and those kinds of things. The technology is just basic, simple technology. It's got an electrified rail. It has an electric motor that drives it and moves it to a drum. So I don't see any major technology unless we're going to create some new electrons and run them down a different wire system or something like that. But the technology is simply sound, and it's been tested, and it's verified. If we come up with a new technology, what do we got to do? We've got to confirm it. And then the federal going to want to know, well, what are the conditions of confirming this? Let's take the zero emissions bus, right? That takes time.
Except the topic we're talking about is BART.
I know, but I'm using it as an example to indicate the difficulty of new technology. Tried and true technology. People understand it. People willing to put their money up. So I'm happy with that. And I think that those things are not, those are just kind of hair ends out there that say new technology. We got the technology, and we just need to use it. So I'm for it, and let's go do it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I think, Chuck, you're next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to first share with the board a conversation I had with the Federal Transit Administration in February of 2007, shortly after I was sworn into office as mayor, after I agreed that I would join this board and serve on the EPA board. I had not been involved in BPA before that, and I wanted to find out exactly what the deal was. On a lot of questions that I had about BTA and BART. And so I went back to Washington. I met with the head of the Federal Transit Administration. We had the regional FTA offices on the phone by conference call, and I learned a few things. First was that the prior board's decision to hire Michael Burns as executive director was a really big, important, and a great improved step in the eyes of the FTA. That the relationship between the FTA and BTA had vastly improved, and they even managed to agree upon what the methodology ought to be to measure ridership, which was a big step. The second was that while they were impressed with the fact that we only wanted 20% of the funding from the federal government for the BART project, most places want 80%. That's very impressive. But they were not going to give us any more money unless we had a dedicated funding source. period. We're not going to get the money we need from the federal government unless we have a dedicated funding source, and we cannot take it from our existing operations. Not allowed. So, choice is, if we want the money to build BART, we have to have a dedicated funding source. But that was pretty clear, and that was the conclusion of my meeting, and that is consistent with the direction and everything that, that the staff is informed us of. Secondly, BART has been and remains a very popular project in this county for voters. We spent a lot of time earlier tonight in other meetings talking about not having enough Measure A money, everything we wanted to do on Measure A. We would not have any Measure A money if it hadn't been for the BART project. It is what drove the entire approval of the Measure A funding. So, if we don't have enough to do everything, BART has to be the top priority. It is my top priority because it was the voters' top priority. I know that it remains very popular in San Jose and the rest of the county because the people see it as a long-term investment in the future. We're doing this for our kids and our grandkids. It's a very important investment in the infrastructure of this region for our economy, tie the region together, complete the rail link around the bay, reduce our dependence on foreign oil, cut our greenhouse gas emissions, and the people understand that, and they're willing to pay an eighth of a cent sales tax to make it happen. This is a word of support Measure A. So I'm going to support the motion. I think this is the right thing for us to do. It's a long ways in the future before we're done, but some things you have to do for the kids and the grandkids.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ken and P.
Yes, thank you. I also believe very strongly that it's important to put this measure on the ballot. The reason why we're here discussing this even this evening is because of the voter support in 2000. And it's all well and good for us to sort of say, you know, what's good for the public and for the region ourselves, but it really is the voters who I think should decide. And so regardless of whether you're for or supporter, I do think it's important to put it on the ballot because to me that's the real democratic action to take. As an MTC commissioner, I've seen time and time again how Santa Clara County is left out of the major funding decisions as other areas of our region continue to get large financial funds for their projects. BART to Santa Clara is our big opportunity to get the equal amount of share that is due to us. We've often been hurt because we do self-fund so many of our projects where the other counties don't do it nearly to the extent that we do. So we've been very fortunate because of public support to have really an excellent transportation system. But to be able to continue doing that, we do need this 1/8 cent dedicated sales tax to BART. And I think for all the reasons that people have stated, you know, if you're on 880, if you're on 680, if you understand the effect of the automobile on the environment for the people who live along the highway corridors and how they suffer because of the air pollution, for all the things that we want to do so we're not dependent on foreign oil, so that people do have alternatives to get to work and to commute and for enjoyment in this greater Bay Area, BART is the only answer. I can't really understand any other alternative that would bring the amount of support that and the ridership that BART would. This is something for the future. I think it's sound. I certainly and will be supporting it. But the first step is putting it on the ballot so that the voters themselves can decide.
Thank you. Pete.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to share two of my beliefs. The first is that I believe BART is an essential component of our economic recovery. I also believe that a majority of the people of our county still want BART. And I want the people of this county to have a chance to reaffirm that support. I will be supporting the motion. Thank you.
And if every board member could speak as succinctly and clearly as that, I'd be a happy woman. Dean.
I would be happy to make you happy.
Hopefully I can make you happy.
You need to turn on that mic.
It is on.
Try the other one. They're numbered. Apparently so. Okay, David.
Here, we'll try this.
As an MTC commissioner and a non-voting member of this board, it's been very interesting to come here, and I will echo what my fellow MTC commissioner Quinn here said, is that the BART project is essential to link us to the rest of the Bay. I remember making a what I consider to be a difficult decision to leave the Silicon Valley 15 years ago because I was commuting to San Francisco and I needed to get on the BART line because commuting to San Francisco was shorter on BART than it was taking Caltrain. And I was spending an hour and a half a day each way coming to San Francisco, whereas when I moved to the East Bay, I had to do 45 minutes. And I know that if BART was further down, I would not have had to left the Silicon Valley. I was lucky enough to get a job in, back in the Valley and move back. I've been close supportive of the BART project all along. I think it's now time to let the voters say yes or no to go forward. So with that, I hope that you guys vote for the resolution.
Thank you, Dean. David.
Right. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how to get here. It's interesting. If you look at the background part of the memo for this item, it actually talks about at the request of a coalition of external interests, somebody, ETA was asked to consider placing Florida voters in Santa Clara County the proposal that the ETA put on the ballot. They wanted 1.8% sales tax and to use the tax to finance ETA's obligation to make a part. This action is not the result of a well thought out process. It is not the outcome of our standing committees having done and completed their necessary due diligence before a board action of this magnitude. All the previous financial analysis, except for a report that we, the board, received just 2 days ago, clearly stated that a sales tax increase of this amount would not cover the gap. This will not be the last sales tax increase related to this type of transportation. We have not completed a Measure A project assessment. East Valley Light Rail, as you heard tonight, may not make the cut and may not be built. BART may not make the cut after completing the critical assessment. There's been a lot of talk about being the center of technology. Would we, on a comparative basis, hold up a computer from the 60s as an example of excellence today? There are processes that we should be following. We should complete our assessment. We should ensure that before we go to the voters, ask them to dig deep into their pockets to pay for something that, in their minds, they have already paid for. That we have completed the necessary steps to ensure that we put forth the best ballot measure possible for the best transportation projects possible to truly serve this community, which is the center for technology. So I will not be supporting this motion.
Thank you, David. I have Greg, and then if other people want to put up their hands, I'll make sure you get on the list. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try to stay on your good side and be brief as well. I grew up as a young kid in Almaden Valley, and at the time that the original BART was being proposed coming down from San Francisco, and I did my undergraduate work in history, my graduate work in public policy, and have long considered that the failure to extend BART south was the biggest public policy failure in Bay Area history. And I'm loath to continue that. There are significant assets to bringing it to our community. The connectivity for me as a South County resident is crucial. The understanding that we're going to have Caltrain connectivity and we're going to be able to take part. As a young, starting my career, I lived in San Francisco. I could drive and get on BART from my home in the Mission District and not only go to work every day downtown, but I could go see my beloved A's in East Bay much more easily than I could go see the Giants in the same city because of BART and because of that connectivity. We have built in our community more projects in the last 10 years than the entire previous history of our community. Honestly, a lot of recreation projects, but the aquatic center that we built, the recreation center that had a pool, a lot of folks said, that's crazy, we were going to see the that first one. One of the things that we realized was that the symbiosis, that the community started acting a lot differently. The analysis that we've done here talks about only the tangible benefits and very quantifiable benefits of BART. If we're going to see some less quantifiable benefits that are going to be equally important in that the habits of us as Bay Area residents change. That to me is going to be something that's significant, something you can't quantify. We all take a deep breath and say, this makes sense to do. And understanding that that is likely the outcome, but understanding more importantly that as several people have pointed out, we're not doing this for us, we're doing it for just subsequent generations. Final comment is that I'm on the BMC Foundation and support their very necessary efforts to pursue their measure this fall. In fact, there's some local measures in Morgan Hill as well. I'm probably voting to put more measures on the ballot at the tax sale this fall than certainly I've ever done. And it's very sobering. But I'm a strong believer that true leadership comes from us being straight up with voters and saying, this is what it costs for what we want. Nobody likes paying taxes, but everybody likes services for the public that work. And by saying that we're going to put an 8 cent on for a very specific purpose and a very specific goal that is sustainable and that makes sense for my children, that to me makes sense, and it certainly makes sense to ask the voters and ask if they can tell their conclusions. So I'll just put it in the
thank you.
Maura.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will be brief. I think that my colleagues that have spoken in favor of putting this on the ballot have really stated a great argument. I just wanted to add to the conversation that as we move forward, we really should continue to ask the voters to reaffirm this or not reaffirm this. But it's about thinking about the future and what we want this valley to look like, maybe not 5 years from now, but 10, 20, 30 years from now. So I will be supporting the motion. Great, thank you. Nancy, Don, did I see your hands go up? Okay, Sam.
Thank you, Madam Chair, particularly since I'm already in the bed, that got me so long last time. I just wanted to respond briefly to two issues. One was, I appreciate Board Member Cass's concern about the fact that this particular decision hasn't gone through all the community process. But there is no project in the history of this ballot that has been more vetted than BART. It's been more discussed, analyzed in every possible detail than this project. And it will continue to be vetted and analyzed and discussed in the coming 3 months and thereafter. So I'm confident that we will have a very open public conversation about this, and there is certainly no rushing to decision here. This isn't a decision we just came to. A decision to go forward in BART, with BART, wasn't even just made in 2000. It was made many years before when study and analysis first began on this project. So this is something I think it's time for us to move forward. Secondly, just on this issue about the Bay Rail Alliance's numbers, I had an opportunity to look both at the numbers presented in the Bay Rail Alliance August 7th letter, and I've also had a chance to look at a copy of the agreement between BTA and BART. And I think it's really critical. The point that General Manager Burns made is really described on page 29 of this agreement, paragraph 5, and it points to the fact that if this $48 million in year one is going to be completely offset, is going to completely offset any gap in operating costs. So when you look at the Bay Rail Alliance's calculations in their first year, which they call year 2017, the mandated BART payment, which is $76 million in their estimate, which is the adjusted $48 million is completely double counting all the O&M costs that are already in the calculation. So we know from the very first year they're already $76 million off in terms of overestimating the cost of this project. So I encourage them to review the agreement before they come out with numbers like this, because I think it's very misleading to the public.
So not only did you want to speak a second time, you stole my notes too. On a more serious note, first and foremost, let me just thank you, the speakers who have come up here, and I know many have left the audience, but if you would thank them on our behalf, I think the tremendous amount of communication and engagement that you have with this board has been tremendous tonight. There's a lot of respect in that audience, and I appreciate that, whether speakers were for or against BART in what we do here at BTA. So please, when we have controversial issues like this to discuss, it is extremely helpful to have a well-meaning and fully communicative discussion with our public. And so please, I thank you for your endeavors this evening. To my colleagues and to the public, I'd like to bring up a point that I think was mentioned in passing that I'd like to reiterate. The reason why I'm going to support this BART proposal this evening is, one, to let voters decide if they have, as in the past, wanted to bring BART to Santa Clara County, as well as fund the operations. But the BART project isn't just coming to Santa Clara County. What it really is a connective real system, rail system, that will go to all cities around our bay. And to me, that's an invaluable network that we don't have right now, that we do sorely lack in this area, in our region. And so with that, I think many other people have spoken eloquently about why this should go on the ballot, and so I will be casting my vote in terms of a yes. Not seeing anything else, then may we have a vote on this. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Then we should probably do a hand vote just to make sure we have it correct. If you're in favor, please raise either of your hands. Okay. If you're opposed, please raise your hand. We have 9-3. That motion passes. Thank you. Whew. You can stay for item 31. It's going to be really exciting. If you'd like to speak on it, please fill out a card. We'll give people just a second to clear out of here. Have we got no HVAC in here?
Yeah, we got it. All right.
Okay, if you could exit the chambers quietly, we would appreciate it. Thank you. We are going to continue with item 31. Before we get too far into this item, and we are collecting speaker cards now, if you'd like to speak on this, now would be the time to give me a speaker card, please. And I think I'm going to hand this off to Jim Lawson in just one moment. But several years ago, the board at that time, the BTA board at that time, received a report from the Hay Group. One of the items in that report was that BTA needed to do better on a certain number of items, one of them being our governance issue, just address our governance issue for a more effective board. And Greg, I'd like to just publicly thank you for heading this up. This was a huge issue to begin with. And the only person out of the board at that time to step up to the plate to take this on was you. I know you put in a lot of hours, and we're going to talk about the substance of what has been done since then. But just to start off this, I want to thank you publicly for your heart, sweat, and tears from the very beginning, and then David, with your joining him,
later rather than sooner. Thank you, too. So with that, I think I can have you take the item up, Jim.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I will be brief in honor of the hour. If you will recall, at your April meeting, you were the board approved the three concepts that came forward from the governance subcommittee, namely to eliminate the concept of city groupings, selecting their representatives through the rotation process, to encourage the appointing authorities to reappoint representatives to consecutive terms, and to include a process for selecting BPA directors within the city groupings with the required experience, qualifications, and in transportation. At the request of Director Cassis, the fourth recommendation, which is a realignment of the city group, was deferred while they considered alternatives. You have in your board packet the proposal that was made in April by Mr. Sellers, which essentially said that there would be a realignment of the city groupings. There was a minor adjustment to that at the request of the city of Los Altos Hills. They had been moved back to where they came from in the North County grouping. There was also included the work product of the committee and its advisors, the two members of the advisory committee who worked, four members from our advisory committees, two from the policy advisory committee, and two from the citizens advisory committee who worked long and hard to look at alternatives and come up with a recommendation that they felt very strongly is a viable alternative for you. Those are Mr. Glickman and Mr. Moylan, who are from the PAC, and Mr. Klein and Ms. Okazumi from the Citizens Advisory Committee. Their recommendation was included as it was presented, and that the staff would recommend that you select one of the governance structure options that is presented, or you always have the option to go with it.
Thank you very much, Jim. I'd like to throw an idea out here that it's not 1A, B, or item 2. And maybe we can talk about that for a second before we go further. This conversation that's happened over the course of the last year has happened by an ad hoc committee appointed by Chairwoman Miss, and then modified at a subsequent meeting by the board. The members of that committee appointed by Chairwoman Miss were Greg Sellers and David Cassis. There was other involvement from other members of our various advisory committees, but the true members appointed by Miss were our fellow colleagues in PIRA. I think that this is an item that really should go now to an official structure of the board. And so I've given this a little bit of thought and would love to have the board's feedback on having the administration and finance committee take up the governance issue as an official structure of this board and debate items 1A, B, 2, and go from there. And so I throw that out for comment before we actually talk about the two listed BTA items of consideration. Sam?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd be happy to make that a motion to put that on the floor.
Okay. It's been moved.
Second.
And seconded. And I have Pete on my list for speaking first, but because this motion is new, would you still like to speak to it?
Yes, I would. I appreciate your suggestion and the motion, which is why I seconded it. Since I've got two pieces of communication that stated that they'd like more time, that being from the city of Campbell and the city of Mountain View, I was going to suggest we at least continue this. But I think referring this to the Finance and Administration Committee is an excellent suggestion and action for us to take. Thank you.
Any other speakers on that motion? And then we'll take
vote.
Just on the motion, we're still going to the public.
You can stay back here if you want.
Oh, okay. We got public speakers. Okay. Dean.
I just wanted to point out as a minor correction, I actually constituted the committee when I was chair.
Thank you.
And I asked Greg to investigate, and then 4 months later, Liz expanded the committee.
I appreciate that correction. I'm sorry. I misspoke. Okay, Eugene, so we will take public comment then. We have Eugene Bradley, Kevin, Margaret, Norm, and then Chris Moore. And remember, we're still using the handheld. And we have somebody coming up right now to take those out of your hands so you can use a handheld mic. And then I'm going to need the screen up here. How does this thing mic back out? Perfect. There might be an on button. No. Thanks, Eugene. All right. Keith, come on up. Thank you, Kevin. Margaret, we're going to take Margaret and then Norm Klein and Chris Moore. Margaret, I'm afraid it sounds like those batteries are dead. So you may have to just use your battery. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that.
do that. Thank you. It's cool. It is not. Thanks. Chris. Thank you, Chris. All right, those are all my public speaker cards this evening on item 31. Any questions, comments from the board, David?
Yeah, I do want to take this out of curiosity. See where
And I also give a great deal of appreciation to Greg for his willingness to support reaching out to the PAC and CAs. Goes right from the hey group on up board, and at the end by adding more bodies with more thought, we came up with an alternative fence file. You had asked for the AF to consider this, I think, by putting in a process and structure and constraints over, I think, a great deal of credit goes to the four additional members that we added. But without their contribution, we would not have a lot of purpose. And I am grateful for that. And I'm also grateful for, although Greg did not support the end conclusion as an alternative, he did work to make the best alternative possible for the grant to consider. So that took a lot of character, and I appreciate that. So I will support.
Thank you. I'll add my thanks to the hardworking committee. I think it was a very, very thoughtful process, and I was, I think the choices which come out of it are good. I'm definitely intrigued by the PAC alternative. The other alternative that I think this might be worth keeping on the table is this the proportionate voting one, which is a permutation of Greg's, which does keep the proportionate voting. So, I mean, if you were going to ask me today which one I favor, you know, I would lean towards PAC, but you know, I would like to kind of have the opportunity to take it back to my city members to see what other opinions there are. So I guess one question is, when in this process would we take it back to the city councils?
Well, not wanting to micromanage my idea, I thought that if ANF took the ideas that were generated by the committee and discussed those and then came up with a recommendation to us, then we could all take them back to our cities to review, because I think most cities have reviewed the plan that was come up with originally that started this whole ball of wax rolling. So I do envision in the process at some time in their timeline for us as board members to take this back to our cities and have a PAC again. That would be great. Chuck?
First, let me say that I cannot speak for the city of San Jose on this. I can speak only as a member of this board. Myself, we have not as a city. I don't know what my city council might want to guess that tonight, and it's not necessary. I have in the past expressed my preference for the recommendation that the board of sellers came up with originally. I still think that's the preferred model, but I'm guessing a little bit about what the other cities might prefer, and I really don't want to have to make a decision until we know what the other cities think is in their best interest. So if you go to the Administration and Finance Committee, I serve on the executives of taking this up. I think one of the things we want to do is to figure out these three alternatives. And the do-nothing alternative may be an alternative. I don't really know for sure because I don't know what happens at midnight at the end of the last year. I think we're all stuck until we're replaced, if I remember. We serve, it's a life sentence. So, but there is some incentive to get it done before the midnight there. But I would want to try to circulate it and see what the other cities do. Certainly, for the city of San Jose makes a decision on it. But the other thing is, I have to admit, I have not read the entire audit report that just came out from the state auditor's office. And I do know they talked about governance in there in a different way than the previous audit did. So I think that's something I would want to look at with the ANF committee as to whether or not they've made any changes and recommendations about governance that might affect this discussion, because we just haven't been able to figure it out. So if it goes to the committee, I think ultimately we need to figure out a way to present it to the city so we can get an answer. If you have three alternatives, you end up with five different versions of what you're supposed to do, and then you're still at a point where you can't get to two-thirds. So maybe we have to have instant one-off voting or something. I don't know. Work that out at the committee.
Thank you.
Forbes?
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I would desire, if it does come to the Administration Finance Committee, is that the purpose for all of this is clearly stated so that people know why we're doing what we're doing and which is best to solve the problem. I think a lot of emotions have been bantered back and forth. We all know that it's clearly defined as to why we're doing what we're doing. And I think that's important. We have to make sure that when it comes, that it has that problem, and then this is what we're trying to solve. And then we can look at these, apply it to the problem, and see which is the best for all of us. Looking for that. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Sam, and then Greg will speak last on this item.
Thank you. I just had a quick question for Texas Horse Sellers. I had a conversation, I remember, several weeks ago with Dean Chu about a suggestion he had. Perhaps it wasn't his idea, but an idea he passed along, having to do with multiple votes for each individual member, and they could be allocated in a way such that you could get closer to proportional voting. I'm wondering, was that considered as an option?
There are some practical... It absolutely was considered early on in the process. The primary concern was practicality, which was trying to figure out on every single vote that the VTA took. It was going to be difficult. At the very least, going to have to hire a lot more clerks, staff of the clerk's department in order to tabulate all of that. It's something that if the ANF committee wants, which was mentioned as an alternative, you may want to take a look at. One of the concerns that we've had, that we've all looked at as well, is trying not to make the process more complicated than it is, sort of, done so. So, and I have some other comments related to that, but that was specifically that one that was the concern.
Thank you. And then, Greg?
Well, appreciate it, and I want to say thank you to all those who expressed appreciation for the effort. And I'm happy to, very happy to take a step back after tonight. Going on vacation next week, and I was hoping that part of my vacation would start with being able to take a step away from all of this. Our effort ended up getting tied into my geographic location as a resident of South County and what my motivation and interest was. And I want to reassure the board again that our goal from the beginning was to try to figure out how to improve the governance of this organization. It was clearly identified in part of the Hay report, and Chair Chu asked me to address it. I did so, trying to come up with a way to address the concerns raised in the Hay report. Wanted to mention briefly, basically, there are two proposals that came up. My thought was when, first of all, the concerns expressed about the solution came up with in April, primarily expressed by Member Casas, and so he asked to be part of the committee, extended for 3 months, and the other members that participated in the effort, I knew coming in, had all expressed significant vociferous concerns about the solution we'd come up with. Smart politician would have figured out a way to not let that group sit down and try to figure out the solution, because they'd already expressed their opposition to something that we'd come up with. But I'm a strong believer in the public process and in making sure that everything has adequate representation and is fully considered. And I would have loved to have come up with a solution that I could have been supportive of as well. I want to mention two brief reasons why I was not supportive. It's a proportional representation. I'll talk about why our alternative is actually more proportional than pursued in a second. But the proportional representation that was come up with basically was signed based on population. My seat decided to bail on me too, so right after this. The proportional representation, but basically the range would be Modest Arena would get 4 votes to 133% and all the rest of us would fall in between. The result of that would be that the two larger cities voted one way, it would take 9 smaller cities voting another way for that to be countered. And that's, we virtually assure
that the larger cities, which all happen to be in the same geographic region, would, even if they only voted for them and their neighbors in the first two votes, would virtually assure that the same five cities, all contiguous, would end up being the five representatives in perpetuity. And it means that nobody from Camden, nobody from Escados, nobody from Gilroy, nobody from Cupertino would really have a shot at winning the board. And that's a huge concern of mine. And so that was really the fundamental reason why I could not support the alternative. Because when we first started out, we looked at what worked. And what worked was West Valley. And West Valley doesn't really even rotate. It allowed our current chair of the CV to stay on an extra year because they said we have five cities, we're an area of interest. Whatever one of us does, we know it's going to be a representative of the entire area. And that works for us. So when we looked at the original proposal, we said, how do we develop areas of interest? And we knew in our case we didn't have them because we had Milpitas in South County cities, and that was obviously disparate. So we tried to figure out how to do that. Unfortunately, South County is very separate geographically from the rest of the area. It's also the fastest growing area. Within 10 years, we'll be at parity in population with the other areas. Any proportional disparities are going to be temporary at best. Further, we can put Milpitas up in Santa Clara and Sunnyvale. We've got the 237 corridor, potentially the BART corridor, all in common with those areas, in Santa Clara, Milpitas, and Sunnyvale. So that seemed to make sense. And that's why we move forward on it. What I'd like to suggest, if we move forward with the motion this evening, first of all, I want clarity on what my role might be. Appreciate the opportunity, first of all, as I said, to step back, and also, if it's appropriate, to at least address some of the thoughts and concerns I had to A&F. There's some ambiguity on that point with the PAC as to whether or not it's appropriate, and my input would be, so I'd like to get clarity on that. And second of all, an opportunity maybe to write out and further some of the concerns that I had about the proposal that came out, because I made a conscious decision not to put into the report anything negative about the other proposal. And so I think I'd like to have the opportunity to express those concerns in writing. So those two things moving forward, and then finally be having an opportunity and incorporating, and the good staff will have some suggestions on how best to go out again and get some input from the city. That's going to be critical. I want to remind everybody that the majority of cities represent the majority of the non-San Jose cities voted initially in support of the proposal we put forth. I think it's important to go back and to confirm that support of all the cities, including San Jose, and so that the A&F committee and then the board can make a decision based on that. So I appreciate the indulgence of this group, and hopefully we'll have shorter meetings now that we have governance. And it seems like we're at the tail end of every long meeting, so hopefully we'll have shorter meetings in the future. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Greg. I just want to wrap up this conversation by again thanking you and David for taking us on as board members. And Chris, Norm, Margaret, and Steve Glickman, who's not here tonight, for the amount of effort that you put into this. You really gave me, in my mind, a starting point for A&F to take this. And now it can be adopted by a formal committee for good work and then to bring back to us. As I said, I didn't want to micromanage how A&F took this issue, but I would hope, Greg, that they would utilize you as a resource and the capacity they felt was needed. With that, I'll take a vote on this end. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Great, thank you. Thank you. We will go on then to item 33. Maybe we can take 33 and 34 together, or?
That's correct.
Perfect. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm going to be very, very quick on this one. The first slide I'm going to get to, just to give you an overview of... Michael's going to get that going. What this is Valley Transportation Plan 2035 Program Area Review. If you recall, in March you approved a series of projects that was a pretty compressed time frame. What we had told the board that we were going to come back to review all of the different programmatic areas for additional input by the board. In June we reviewed the highway program at that time. We're going to just very quickly go over local streets, county roads, and expressways. And the intent again is to get additional input one last time. before we start drafting the plan, we're going to come back to you in the next couple of months with the remaining programmatic areas. So I'm going to be very brief. I'm going to jump right to the bottom line, which is slide 8. And that is what we were able to accomplish putting into the plan. Again, this is a planning document. It is fiscally constrained, so we estimate the amount of revenue over the 25-year period. We then solicit the projects in these categories from the county and all of the cities and towns. We were able to accommodate 42 projects in the local streets and county roads program for a total of $590 million. We were not able to get the $410 million in. For the expressway program, we were able to get $263 million worth of projects and 25 projects. Of course, there's still quite a few left in the unconstrained portion. Unfortunately, the theme on the roadway side, as well as with everything else, is that there is shortfalls of funding. So I'm going to close with that and take any additional input that the board wants to provide to us. Thank you very much.
Any questions? All right. Thanks, John. Really appreciate that. And that takes us to item 33 and 34.
That's right.
35, Dad. And Chris, is this you? Or is this Johnny?
Yeah, it's myself and Tom are going to
try
to do this
okay,
one. I want to get that set up. This was environmental document programmatic EIR for the long range transportation plan where we did model the results of the BTP 2035 program projects, and there are some actions that the board needs to take.
So, a couple more documents on the dais for this.
Good evening, Madam Chair. This is the long range transportation plan program. It includes a list of projects, which is very similar to BTP 2035. So, it includes about 300 transit, highway, bicycle, pedestrian, and intelligent transportation system improvements. Since we do not have detailed project descriptions of all these projects, which is considered the planning stage, this is a program-level environmental document, which means a very high-level sort of satellite view is what would happen if you were to actually implement all of these projects. The draft EIR was circulated for 45 days back in May 6th, and each of the board members was provided the draft EIR at that time. The comment period ended June 20th. We did receive 14 comments. And at this meeting, you received the final EIR, which responded to all those concerns. The document does identify a number of potentially significant environmental impacts, and that's simply because we do not have the specific project definitions to say that we clearly have a less than significant impact. A couple items in terms of these 300 projects. They do have some substantial benefits. There is a 2% reduction in countywide vehicle miles traveled on a daily basis. So on a daily basis, we have about a million fewer vehicle miles traveled if you implement all of these projects. We also have a 19% reduction in countywide vehicle hours traveled. So that's about 300,000 fewer vehicle hours traveled on our roadways on a daily basis. So there's a heavy orientation towards transit and hot lanes as part of these projects. There's a 4% increase in walking to transit riders, and there's a 7% increase in those driving to become transit riders. The draft EIR did include two alternatives. One was the no project, and the other was a short-range transportation project, which essentially meant that we would implement those projects that could be implemented by 2015. The action tonight does not allow any project to proceed forward. It will all require their own environmental analysis at a future date. In some cases, EPA is the lead. In some cases, the county or other cities are the lead. But they do require subsequent action. So basically, this document does provide an overview of the environmental impacts that you implement these projects, and also provides some recommended mitigation measures that could be implemented by various jurisdictions which have responsibility for implementing these. So that concludes my presentation.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Any questions for Tom? Thank you. Oh, Yurika. Yes, I was going to say thank you, Yurika. Well, so my comment is, I really appreciate all the work that Tom has done, and not only this, but our sustainability programs. They're really wonderful.
you know, I guess my frustration with this type of analysis is that we don't really look at, you know, useful alternatives. I mean, that's kind of my wish. And so I may vote no on it, just as a symbolic no. But that's what it means. It doesn't mean that I don't support the work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Forrest.
Staff, I know that the full project is brought, you do make analysis, right? You do look at comparisons and you select your view of what is best regarding the project. Is that correct?
Well, the list
I know you don't bring 10 alternatives to it. I'm hoping that you make some assessment professionally as you do the evaluation as to what you think is best. And if we have concerns with that, then we ask you to either make a choice or go back and look and that type of thing. I mean, I know you can get into N number of alternatives on any particular project, and you'd be there for many, many, many years and still have other alternatives. So I'm looking for your professional judgment. That's why we hire you, I guess. That's my assessment. And so based on that, you give us your view of the best, and then we can either accept that or reject that and ask you to go back.
Okay. One of the things that this list of projects includes is that it's heavily oriented towards transit and supporting transit. The other item that came up is that it's heavily oriented towards hot lanes or high occupancy toll lanes. And we have something like 17 hot lanes as part of this program. And that's why we see some substantial improvements in reducing vehicle miles traveled, vehicle hours traveled, reduction in greenhouse gases. It's because of those hot lanes, actually. And so it has a very good mix. I think if we saw that the results were negative in terms of air quality or traffic or greenhouse gases or energy, we would have been looking more seriously at this list of projects and might have been looking at leading some or trying to exclude some.
The quick answer is yes, this does have a pretty innovative approach to it. It's with the same list of projects that you were reviewing back in March, and you're going to see again in the entire document, DTP 2035, that's going to come to you later in the fall. Where the individual, very specific analysis occurs, as Tom mentioned, is when a specific project goes forward, that additional analysis of alternatives does occur as well. So this is a programmatic, high-level look.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that alternatives is all looked at. I mean, we just can't afford to bring them all.
That's correct. This is a high-level look at.
Yes, a high-level, professional level down. And then when we get into assessing the project as to whether we're going to go forth or not, then we can ask for those
recommendations. That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we have several actions. We need to certify the final program EIR. Maybe we can do these all at once. Adopt the findings for 2A, B, and C, and then adopt the mitigation monitoring program. Moved by Pyle, seconded by Caserta. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions. Beautiful. We have one no. Sorry. Just kind of jumped the gun. Did you guess it? Member Kishimoto. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let us go on, please, to item number 36. We don't have any items of concern or referral to administration. Okay. Item 37, the monthly legislative history matrix is in your binder, of course, as are the item 38 reports. There's some reports up here on your dais. And then we have reports for item 41. And then we have, I think, some public speakers, yeah, but they're still here.
I have one question or referral for staff.
Yes.
Okay. First is, I'm assuming that we're going to get on our agenda one of these days, the audit, the state audit for the board, look at either through the admin or finance committee or something for board discussion, audit, the audit response.
Yeah.
It's currently scheduled for the advisory committees to start looking at that, and we'll work its way through the system.
Okay. Then the second was in the discussion about the sales tax measure. There was a comment from staff about the work they're doing with the Chamber of Commerce with some sort of business advisory committee.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure that somehow is in a process that's moving it, because I think we need to make some progress on that.
Agreed. And in fact, in my discussion with Pat Dando this afternoon, she agreed to take the lead on sort of setting up the first meeting to get that whole process moving.
Okay, I just want to make sure you report back to the board.
Will do.
Yuriko. I also just had one item for either referral or question, which is, and you may already be planning to do this, but could I get an update on Caltrain electrification, including the funding status and timetable?
You certainly may. I'll commit to that on behalf of the general manager.
Yes, we will do that. As Caltrain was supposed to make that presentation today, they delayed it till next month, so it would be appropriate to
put
on your calendar sometime in November.
Great. So before we go to public presentations, we have one item from consent that was pulled, item 28.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll address the question to General Manager, and I'm probably super sensitive on this as an article long, long ago when things were quite different. In the memo dated July 30th, in the background, Michael, it says that the Auditor General report directed to the Audit Committee. And then on the second page of the scope of work, which is attachment A, under resources, item number 3, it says the Auditor General will have a direct reporting relationship to the Audit Committee Chair. A slight difference, those of us who are paranoid think it should be to the entire committee, not to the chair. Comment? Was that clear?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to make?
We'll take care of that. To the Audit Committee.
Then I am ecstatic and I move approval of item 28.
With that addition?
Yes.
And it was seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Oh, wait. I jumped down the voting. Well, I'm sorry. On my paper, in my mind, I thought by now we began.
I'm sorry.
That's it. No. Take your time.
Which is, we have an auditor at the city. And the auditor reports to the entire council. Does it in this case, or does it report only to the auditor?
It reports to the Audit Committee, which is a committee made up of board members.
Okay, but it's pretty clear that the Audit Committee reports
to the, makes their reports to the board.
And I think I had asked this earlier, but I don't really see any mention of performance audits at all. I mean, it is clear that.
Yes.
In addition to financial audits,
yes.
The scope is financial performance audits. Okay.
So when you say they report to the board, you're talking about that in item 4, I suppose, develop and recommend an annual audit plan for BTA as part of the committee work. You said the auditor reports to the committee.
The auditor reports to the
board,
audit committee,
and they report to the board under that item.
The board members. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Now, all those in favor of this, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Okay. Now we can go to item 42, which is a public presentation time. This is where members of the public can speak to the board on items not on our agenda for up to 2 minutes. And I have about a half a dozen cards here, so I don't know if Kai Wet Lisbon is still here. Is Kai here? Okay, Kai, you're going to be first. Why don't you come on up? After you, Maggie still here? Okay, one second, don't jump the gun here. That's not on, it doesn't work. It ran out of batteries because we had a lot of people using it earlier.
But if I remember correctly, Mackie's not here, so we're going to put Mackie's card aside. Is Tim Rance here? Great, Tim, you're going to be speaking second on this item, so if you could come down the pathway. Chris DeMille? Chris DeMille's card goes to the side. Arthur Hernays? Okay, so Arthur, you'll be speaking third under public presentations. So that may or may not be working at the moment, Kai. If it's not, you're going to have to really project.
It is working, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Good evening, members of the board, Chairman. Thank you for first staying longer to hear me out at this presentation. My name is Howard Wilson, and I represent the Blind 51 Advocates. Now, Blind 51 currently serves the western part of the casino, south of San Mountain View. A few of our services have been unnecessarily cut in this last shakeup of January 2008. We are here before you today to request additional service. The writers of Blind 51 hereby request the Santa Clara Valley Transfer Station Authority ETA, to increase the service hours of your casino along Line 51. We request that the service be given twice an hour sub in financial framework in addition to longer service hours as well as some form of weekend service. With gasoline cost rising, global warming booming above us, it is critical that all citizens of the Silicon Valley have access to alternative methods of transportation, alternative system of occupancy. The service is what we have right now. The transit that lives along this line are quite literally crippled. And I mean there's a sense. Currently, Line 51 is served only once an hour at 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. It is only one of two standard bus lines for that of this proposed service. Facing an increase in ridership and growing interest in public transportation throughout the West Virginia and the Los Alamos area, we need additional service to be able to support and at least bring it to the lives of the ETA Thank you.
Thank you, Kai. I'm going to have Jim Lawson follow up with myself at TPN. Thank you. Hi, Tim. Jim, thank you.
On Saturday, August 2nd, at about 3:30 p.m., I was waiting for a westbound Route 32 bus at a DE designated stop on Monroe Street, immediately east of the Lawrence Expressway in Santa Clara. The bus arrived, and the driver began informing me that he couldn't pick me up. His explanation for this decision was that the sidewalk was too narrow, and he couldn't move the bus away from the curb because the wheelchair lift could not be over the street while it was being operated. The sidewalk at this location is a standard width sidewalk. The location is a designated stop established by the VTA. The bus was a bus purchased by the VTA for the purpose of transporting passengers, including wheelchair-bound passengers, to their destinations along the route served by the bus in question. After considerable arguing, the driver relented and picked me up without further incident. Bus number was 8,018. The driver's number was 12,444. Why do I, as a passenger, have to be put through this kind of ordeal in order to get service?
I don't know, but I'm sure we're going to find out. And so, Jim, I'm going to kick this over to you, too. And if you could CC the board on that response, that would be great. Mr. Rant, sorry for that interaction this past Saturday, and I'm hoping it doesn't happen again. I know that's not much that I can do for you now, but I hope to get an answer. Thank you. Hi, Arthur.
Support of mine to my because I just want to point out that you can just say all the things that you can just but you still want some share of the so that you don't have to take signatures or sign it before this thing.
And I think that's like Ron, how important this is. It's really important to get more, because the answer to the question is not for our students to make the zero exercise. I think if you guys have this a financial situation, I think it would be nice if you guys redistribute a lot of buses in the morning, kind of inclusive during the people that would have to be because I've seen it there, and there's not a lot of people that get the bus from the afternoon. And it's just a waste of gas money because many people waiting in the morning and all the buses are coming to happen. So I guess it's nice for us to increase the bus flow more and more in the buses. That's what I'm saying.
Thanks, sir. Jim, one of the speakers at the end of that round going, not being here this evening, this late this evening, is Maggie, and it says on his card line 51, so whatever response we give to Kai and Arthur, maybe we can give that to Maggie also. Thank you. Those are all the speaking cards I have for people who are here. And let me just turn my page. Announcements. Okay, well, I have a really brief announcement because it's kind of cool. At 280, right, just south of Highway 85, two of the towers, well, the only two towers for the Mary Avenue Bike Pedestrian Bridge are up now. So if you drive 280 north, you're going to see these two gigantic towers that were put up between midnight and 3 a.m. the last two Friday nights, and that's it. We keep moving forward there. All right, and with that, then I will adjourn this. I was getting there. Okay, before we get there, David.
Yeah, just a few things. One, I think it would be great. I know it's a recent work on the team, which is the presentations and the agendas that we make for this tonight. I really think
that's a nice step.
So I'd like to just bring that back to the second point of the share of care as a group of students. Next, I travel in two very separate local functions. I live in Central Venus. On more than one occasion, I have helped me to be able to ask me about it when I'm serious. And usually it's been an offline. So I know that people use some bushes, ski bushes, on their vehicles. And I think that it would be appropriate for the conversation to help them and ask them if they need to either retrain their drivers into putting a speed bushing on their vehicle so they can not be seen the 6 miles. And I have the car numbers, physical description of the individuals as best as I can get them. But rather than calling out anyone, it just be a nice policy system. Because they have their brand license for their car. They service us, they represent us.
Nice. Any other announcements? All right. So, I would like to make a more serious comment, though, as we adjourn this meeting. BTA is a family. We've lost three family members, and we are going to adjourn this meeting in memory of Kim Peterson, Phyllis Stewart Cook, and Julianne Simpson. Needless to say, our condolences go out to those families and to those co-workers who work with these employees also. So thank you. We did a lot of good work tonight, which we'll continue to do. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay, so I am going to stop it.